much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Come on, get pumped, dude, get pumped! Woo! Get pumped! Come on, get excited! Woo! Where's that Dojo energy?
Woo! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
In blackest day or brightest night, watermelon, cantaloupe, yada yada, a superstitious and cowardly lot, with liberty and justice for all.
You know, I think you should all be nicer to Will Wheaton.
The way I treat my colleagues. Wait, what?
I said you ought to be nicer to Will Wheaton.
You mean Will Wheaton?
Yes, Will Wheaton.
Why are you saying it like that?
Well, I'm just saying you should be nicer to Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton seems like a nice guy.
Say wheat.
Wheat.
Now, say Will Wheaton.
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 Hey, did you hook up with Whoopi Goldberg on the show?
All the time.
And now, his ability to suck in these balls.
Our feature presentation.
It's quite an ability. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It is the 9th of November. Everybody excited about being Edmund Fitzgerald Eve? One more sleep. Wake up tomorrow. Big year this year. 40th anniversary.
Yeah, right.
Of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
It'd be a
right.
5-hour celebration tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No phone ring right now.
Or not.
No, we'll be interviewing family members of the fallen. We'll have Gordon Lightfoot on to perform live. This is all in my my dreams, of course. But I'm hoping we can get some of the, hey, I'm not on the phone.
Oh.
It's a big big anniversary this time around now.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody from this Maritime Sailors Cathedral, the Coast Guard quarters right there at Whitefish Bay.
That phone is not stopping.
That is an angry phone.
All I know is I look forward to November 10th every year. Hey.
Hey, what?
Oh.
A man can't be excited about a holiday.
It's not a holiday.
It's not a holiday. It's a shipwreck 40 years ago where everyone died.
That's right. And that's why it should be commemorated.
So
it should be
excited by
commemorated
that.
Properly. I'm excited by the mystery of it, by the fact that 40 years later we still don't know why the ship went down. That's why.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. 40 years from now, they won't know either.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
That's possible, but we'll still be doing our part to keep it alive and keep it out there.
So. Yes, we will.
Well, it is Monday. That's the bad news. Here's a an interesting story out of Oregon last week. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Well, first, before I read the story, if you go into Target Alley to buy more Christmas decorations today, which you probably will, and somebody has made an error on the packaging, and it's supposed to be $19.99 for the decorations, but they're marked at $9.99.
Score! What?
Is it your belief that even though it was an employee error, that Target should honor that that printed price and they are forced to sell it to you at $9.99, even if it's wrong?
Absolutely.
Okay,
really?
Kevin?
No? Yeah. No, it says $9.99.
I would. I know that part of. I understand.
Okay.
I think I would be lucky to get out paying that because they should get the price, the real price for it, because
when they scan it at the register and it comes up $19.99, then the person says, "Ooh, it's marked incorrectly."
Yeah, if they know right, and then they catch it. But Allie, would you stand there and insist that they sell it to you for $9.99?
I don't think so. No, I'd be like, okay,
really?
No,
I thought I could.
All right, how about let me go bigger now? How about Kevin? You're going to buy a new TV at Best Buy,
okay?
And you open up the weekly ad in your Sunday paper, although I know you don't read the news because you're a kid, and they have incorrectly printed the ad, and instead of the television that's supposed to be $5,999, it's printed in the ad at $59.99. Clearly it's a mistake. They're not selling a TV for that, but that's what it says in the ad. Should they have to abide by that price?
I can't imagine how.
Don't you remember they did this on Nathan for You?
They put an alligator in there. And
yes.
Yeah, good thought.
Right?
And Best Buy just said no?
Yes.
I can't imagine that they wouldn't be able to say that's a misprint. Sorry about that.
Would you try?
I would not.
Okay. Well, the reason I say all that is because I've escalated to the point that I think you're ready for this story. Veronica Castillo of Portland, Oregon, was at the Lucky Eagle Casino in Rochester, Washington last weekend, and she was playing a slot machine. And it says here that she put in $100 into this slot machine. Now, it's unclear whether that is at one time. Is it like a chip situation where you push the button and you're entering $100 in? Or had she put $100 in the time that she'd been playing? I would appreciate that information because the prize that she won was $8,589,298.89. All right? $8.5 million she won at the slot machine.
Okay.
This report from CoinTV says her jubilation over the jackpot quickly dissipated, however, after a visit from the casino's staff when they told her she had not won the $8 million jackpot, but the machine had malfunctioned and she had only won $80.
That's
all right,
a big difference.
That seems bogus to me, though. That seems like a, you know, a place that's trying to get out of paying that much money.
John Sesterman, the CEO of the casino, released a statement addressing the incident, noting that in the Eagle River's 20-year history, there's never been an incident like this, and he hopes to quickly resolve the problem in hopes of retaining Castillo as a customer.
Mm.
They say that the game malfunctioned. It was a malfunctioning machine. They took it out of service until the problem can be corrected. How about that?
Oh.
See, now you're starting to get into a realm where you think, you know what, it did hit. And they don't want to pay, so they're just going to go, oh, yeah, it's there's something wrong with it, so we're going to take it out of action.
Rocket Gaming Systems, the machine manufacturer, is in the process of doing a forensic investigation to determine the cause of the display malfunction that occurred on the machine. It's absolutely clear that the gaming machine played by Ms. Castillo experienced a display malfunction, an incorrect credit display, they're saying. So, Allie, you wouldn't speak up at Target for the Christmas decorations or at Best Buy for the TV. Are you suing the hell out of this casino? Or are you taking them at their word?
She was thinking about everything she was going to do with
money. That was the best 1 minute of her life until they came over and squashed her, right?
I can't believe it. I can't believe what?
Oh, they've got to make it right in some way to her.
I think I fight that one.
Yeah.
But how do you make it right if you're taking away $8.5 million? What can you possibly do to make it right?
Give her $80,000? I'm just taking zeros I don't know. Oh, that breaks my heart for her. She sounds lovely.
We don't know anything about her.
She could be a
jet. She could be a witch.
Okay.
Anyway, it won't surprise you. She is in the process of contacting an attorney to find out what her legal options might be. But I suspect that the casino probably has a little sign somewhere on a wall somewhere that says, ooh, if there's a malfunction, we don't have to pay. So I'm sure they've thought of this.
Can I hear the voice of the casino again, please?
I don't know how it works on slot machines, but does it say what the payout could be or no?
I don't know. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey there, boys and girls.
Play slot machines.
What say you, sir?
Yes, Ralph Garman.
It's just what the story is they have a display on the machine that says how many credits you have won. It comes up as a digital display.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not like she hit the combination on the wheels in order to win the...
Oh, I thought that's what it was.
No, she didn't. Oh. It wasn't
the
wheel.
That was certainly her belief.
It wasn't a wheel malfunction.
Oh.
See what I'm saying?
So they could probably prove
she
that.
She didn't get the combination on the wheels that would allow her to win the progressive jackpot on the machine. She won the combination on the wheels that pays out $80, but on the credit readout, instead of $80, it read $8 million.
Interesting.
And so she's saying, well, it says I should win $80 million. And they're saying, no, your combination pays off $80, but there was a malfunction in the display.
And this is the first time where I've actually considered, you know, they can prove that they're right.
That's what's going to happen. They're going to show whatever chip shows you how much money you've earned on that wheel.
What are you doing at a casino?
Not that chip. A computer chip. Oh. That went bad, and so the display was wrong. But she's insisting on getting paid just because it's like the bank saying, sending you a statement saying you've got $800 million in the bank instead of $800,000. Do you demand that they pay you out that money because there was a clerical error on the slip of paper? She's a bitch. It's not like she won the maximum jackpot and then they're not paying her. It was because of the display on the machine was faulty versus what she actually won.
All right. I always ask for more information. Ralph Garman had more information.
He's just been in the other room the whole time whenever you ask
well,
for
I'm
more
working
info.
Over there and I'm just gritting my teeth and saying, oh, they're just so wrong.
Well,
in there.
Well
what
it didn't
I
say
do?
That in the story here, so that's
just,
very
now
useful.
I have to run in and fix everything. I just don't have time for this.
As usual, you need to save the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, my God. It's just exhausting.
Ralph feels like that like 10 times a day.
It's not worth getting out of the chair sometimes. Just let him, let him sink, right? It's almost Edmund Fitzgerald time. Let the ship go.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, all so right. we all agree then Veronica Castillo needs to die.
Look, it's a bummer. I can see why she'd positive. Be upset, and it's frustrating, but she doesn't deserve to get the money. She didn't win the jackpot.
Okay. All right. All right. So let it be written. So let it be done.
Court dismissed.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
This is incredible. Thank you. Thank you so much. No, seriously, look at me. Thank you.
You don't know what the show is yet.
There was a UFO, everybody!
Good Lord.
Did you see it? There was a UFO, everybody. Did you see it? It was a UFO. Did you see it?
Stop it.
Hey, you don't know, man.
What? I think I do.
Oh, you're going to believe the government?
Well, that was one of my questions when that happened was, what would they tell you if
Exactly. So we need to talk to some people that have the real truth coming up.
We also have, we're going to make an announcement in about a half hour, just after 6, of Kevin and Bean's Miss Double December. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yay!
That's coming up. We have, you have the same name as a celebrity, and it is super annoying or driving you crazy.
I can't imagine, even if you like the celebrity, that it would be worth the hassle of sharing a name with a famous person.
Yeah, true. True. Say you're Chris Martin.
Yep.
Everybody's like, oh, you dude from Coldplay, right? Yeah, that would suck.
What's with you?
I don't know. do a lot of one man shows, and I don't do that. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will be here taking a look at the weekend that was, and Lake Bell is one of our favorites.
Lovely, lovely woman.
Love her so much. We've got her coming up on the program as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Friday night, I say, why not be with K-Rock at the Belasco Theater to see Coldplay? It's a private K-Rock show. You cannot buy tickets to this. You can win them all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including coming up pretty soon. So stick around for that. New album's coming out. Chris Martin's coming in. I think one tomorrow.
I believe so, yes.
It's all Coldplay all the time, you guys.
Oh, it's cold.
Play the Play. Band. Very exciting. Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on?
By the way, we know now the new album. The 7th studio album of Coldplay, which will be released on December 4th. It has a name. A Head Full of Dreams. A Head Full of Dreams. For those of you who are writing it down.
They had A Sky Full of Stars at one point, too, didn't they?
Yes.
Sounds like this is a companion piece.
A Head Full of Dreams.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know. title was changed, by the way. The original title was No More Goop.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means, but apparently it was very, very, very popular with one member of the band. The other guy decided to go up against it. All right, speaking of tickets and things that are good, let me give you tickets to something that's good. How about a pair of passes to the K-Rock advance screening of a movie called The Night Before?
Yeah!
I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this movie or not, but it looks awesome, about three lifelong best friends who decide to celebrate their annual tradition on Christmas Eve of getting together and living a life of debauchery. And it's hard because one of them's got a kid now, and the other one's a star and a basketball player, and the other guy's all over the place. But they do get together for their annual tradition, and bad things happen. And, of course, that's funny when bad things happen to people and around the holidays. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Lizzie Kaplan, Seth Rogen, all-star, looks terrific. We're having a screening on Monday, November the 16th. If you'd like to go to the AMC Burbank, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advance screening of The Night Before. Speaking of movies, as expected, James Bond topped the box office chart this weekend with Spectre. Dominated the weekend box office, $74 million is what it made in its opening weekend.
All right.
Inexplicably, in second place, the Peanuts movie made $45 million in its debut. Shows you how dumb people are. Just the world is full of dummies.
Or full of people that have children that want to relive their youth, capture some of that happiness.
Have children, they don't care what their children watch. That's the problem. Just they'll put them in front of anything.
People on this show that are excited about it without children?
I didn't get a chance to go, but I would have gone. Did you go see it this weekend?
Technically, no.
All right. Defense rest, Your Honor.
Look,
take them away. Take them away, Your Honor.
If it were available on demand, as it should be, I would have seen it already.
If they'll bring it to my house, I'd watch it.
Yes.
But I don't care enough to actually leave the confines of my domain.
It's not how the world works, Bean. You can't go, if they bring it to me, yes. Otherwise, no.
You say that, but music is on demand now, television is on demand now, and movies are heading in that direction. At some point, it's going to be more common than not.
All right. Good luck with that.
See, I can't imagine we're living in a world where anytime soon that's the way movies are going to be delivered. Because if you can make $45 million in a weekend by getting people out of their houses and then make all the money when you can send it to their houses after the fact, why wouldn't you get two bites out of that apple? Why would you just let people stream it into their homes on the opening weekend?
I think the answer to that, and of course there are smarter people than I am who investigate these things, the answer to that is there are a lot of people out there who don't go to the theater to see movies anymore.
And they'll see this when it comes out on video on demand.
Those people, they can get a lot of money from, selling the movie now, though.
Hmm.
But those people, they'll get anyway later, is what I'm saying. These are the first nighters they get that come out. Plus, movie theaters exist on the sales of concessions and popcorn and candy and soda, not so much movies. So you're keeping that industry in business as well.
Oh, I agree. It's terrible for the movie theater owners. That's for sure.
It's a terrible way to experience a movie.
But I think it
I do like going to the theater.
Of course,
big screen, great sound.
But I think that's also the viewer's choice, though.
No. Stop it.
There are lots of people
who
don't want to go to crowded movie theaters. Now, particularly, by the way,
with people.
Especially for a movie like Peanuts, when Ali and I would have gone on Friday afternoon, except for all those damn kids that would have been there, it would have been a nightmare. Just saying.
Look, you'll get your invalid showing later on, is what I'm saying. Don't worry about it. Boy, in the plastic bubble. The Martian was third with a paltry $10 million. Goosebumps and Bridge of Spies was number five. Hotel Transylvania 2, Burnt, The Last Witch Hunter, The Intern, and Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. Rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office. I mentioned at the end, towards the end of last week's show, that Kurt Cobain, the cardigan sweater he wore in Nirvana's legendary MTV Unplugged concert, was up for auction over the weekend. Did pretty well for itself. They were expecting to go to $60,000 to $80,000 at auction. That's what they thought. Ended up selling for $140,000.
Nice.
That's insane.
It's crazy. Not as insane if you look at some of the other items that went off for auction. The drum head with the Beatles logo on it that Ringo Starr had on his bass drum when they famously played the Ed Sullivan Show back in 64 when they sort of exploded into the American consciousness. That drum head sold for, let me take a guess.
Beatles.
Beatles.
250.
1.5 million. $2.1
million.
Wow.
Wow.
And a guitar that was owned and played by John Lennon in his early Beatle days. Played it on Love Me Do, From Me to You, She Loves You, all those early Beatle hits. That sold for $2.4 million over the weekend. So.
What?
I don't know if you know this or not, but the Beatles are popular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cisco! Ah, Cisco. Fong, 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 fong. We got to get some fong, 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 fong,
fong. Yes, we do.
We need some fong, 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 fong.
Let me see that song.
It's like Petra saying song, 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 song over and over again. He's 37 years old today. Singer Nick Lachey 42 years old. Eric Dane. He was McSweaty. He was McSlappy. McLicky.
I think he was McSteamy.
McSteamy, yes.
He's 43 years old today. Chris Jericho, the wrestler's 45. Peppa of Salt and Peppa, 46 years old today. And actor Lou Ferrigno, one of the best. The Incredible Hulk. He is 64 years old today.
Happy birthday, you know.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in about 15 minutes or so. This is a big day. It's not only Edmund Fitzgerald Eve, by the way, but...
hey, you can't bring that up anymore. New rule.
Where did this rule come
from? There's no Edmund Fitzgerald Day, let alone Eve.
How dare you, first of all. This is exciting because this is the most wonderful time of the year as we announce we are open for competition, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Double December 2016. You go to krock.com right now and find out how you can be the beautiful face of the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll tell you all about it after we enjoy the theme.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hot.
What could that beeped word have been?
We were trying to remember how the Miss Double December pageant came to be. Do you know it's been 15 years, Kevin? Actually, 16 now since we started the pageant.
I did not know that. No.
How did it begin? I'm very foggy on remembering how the whole idea came out.
Women are good,
right?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Bridget was our first Miss Double December back in 2000, and we have had lots of lovely ladies representing the Kevin Bean Show throughout the years. We still see Melissa from time to time. Miss Double December 2003, she still comes to the pageants a lot. We hear from Yasmin every once in a while. We saw Christine at the Weenie Roast. She was Miss Double December 2011. So they do become a member of the Kevin and Bean family. We do like to stay in touch with our ladies.
Lux is around a lot of
them. We see Lux all the time. Lux is awesome. Yeah. Of course, Ashley is Miss Double December 2015. So on December 4th, she is going to be surrendering her crown to a new lady who will represent the Kevin and Bean Show for all of 2016. Tell the hot chicks are not going to be up right now.
Right.
But their handlers might hear this and pass the word on to them. Tell them about the competition, Kevin.
Well, you go to krock.com and you send in some photos. And again, we probably shouldn't have to say this, but they should be within the last year-ish. Really? I mean, you don't want to go back 20 years. So send in a current photo.
What, when they were four?
at krock.com. And you answer some questions. Then we put up a top 10. Then people vote for the top 10. And then we have a giant pageant down in Fullerton. And everybody comes down and we crown a new Miss Double December.
And what do you get if you are selected as Miss Double December?
Well, you're the... Because we're not anything to look at, except for Allie. Yeah. It's just...
Yay, thank you.
So you are the face of the Kevin and Bean Show. So everywhere we go, every event that we have, we need something to distract from people looking at us, and that will be you. And it will be both nights of Acoustic Christmas, and it'll be Weenie Roast, and it'll be April Foolishness, and any other huge events that we do, any other Kevin and Bean events during the year.
Yeah, that does vary from year to year. Sometimes we have singles parties. Sometimes we have breakfast withs. We do Red Bull Sound Space appearances. So there's a lot of cool stuff. So if you are into K-Rock and you think this sounds like the job for you, you can go to KevinandBean.com or KRock.com right now. The search for the Miss Double December 2016 is on right now. You can get all the details. We should lay out the timeline a little bit. So we're making this announcement today that entries are open at KRock.com. You have until... Friday, November the 20th is when we close entries. So you have to get your photo and get your application in by the 20th. And then we announce the top 10 on the 23rd. And then shortly after that, we start having the top 10 in studio coming by for interviews. We get a chance to meet you. And then the pageant, as Kevin mentioned, is going to be once again this year down at the Slide Bar, our friends in Fullerton, which is a great location. We always have such a fun time. It's always one of our best broadcasts of the whole year. And that's going to be on Friday, December 4th. You know, I have already been getting emails from listeners who say, you know, they plan on going to the pageant every year. And they're like, hey, do you guys have a date yet? I want to make sure to take off from work because I want to be there. And we do webcam that event, too, every year, which is always a lot of fun. So anyway, there you go. If you want to replace Ashley and be Miss Double December 2016, all the information up for you at krock.com. Good luck, ladies. Minutes away from your chance to join us for the private K-Rock show with Coldplay this Friday night at the Belasco Theater in L.A. So stick around for that. First, though, Dave, our producer, was just telling us, did he say it was 10 years since TMZ.com?
I believe so.
10 years? Harvey Levin, has it been 10 years since TMZ?
It has been 10 years. I do not remember my life before it.
Yeah, no, me either.
You know, that's a really good point, Kevin. TMZ has become such a mainstream mass appeal news source for not just people at home on their phones, but for the rest of the media that I bet most people can't remember before TMZ was available as a resource.
Well, no, I'm saying it just because I'm exhausted.
Well, you should be.
Yeah, you should be.
You should be exhausted, yeah.
Were there ever any... in the early days, Harvey, were there ever any times where you thought, oh, man, this thing's not going to work?
Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny because that's so funny you asked that. I was thinking on my drive in today, I remember literally hitting a button. You had to actually hit a button to activate the website. And I remember hitting the button and thinking how improbable it was that it would be around in 6 months. Because it was, honestly, it was so difficult. Just technically, it was so difficult to do this thing. And I remember also hitting the button thinking, wait a minute, if this thing never goes to sleep, when do I go to sleep?
Yeah, the answer is you don't.
And I thought to myself, how stupid am I that we've been like planning this thing for like 6 or 7 months and that never occurred to me until I hit the button.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beast that has to be constantly fed, right? And people are always going to the website, and they expect to see new stories up every few minutes.
You know, it's funny because we now have 3 television shows, and we're doing a fourth. I think I told you guys about the game show that starts in January, and today we debut on Fox Sports 1 at midnight for TMZ Sports.
That's great.
That's pretty fantastic.
We're really excited about it, but honestly, the TV shows... For me, at least, the TV shows are easy to do. I mean, we've got such a good staff that, you know, everybody kind of knows their job and they know how to do it. And we have an amazing staff on the website, but that's the thing. Because it never goes to sleep, it is so all-consuming. And it's so much harder than the TV shows, just because with a TV show, you put it to bed once you do it and you don't have to deal with it until the next day.
All right, now I'm going to ask you another question. We hadn't planned on turning this into let's interview Harvey Levin about TMZ, but I'm fascinated with this, Harvey, because you are the man. What are you, the managing editor? Is that what you call yourself over there?
Hey, executive producer.
Okay, so you're the one who decides whether something goes up on the site or not. Has there ever, what's the story that comes to mind about something that your sources told you was true, but you were hesitant to put it up in case you were wrong?
Oh, my God, there are a million stories like that. There are a lot of stories we never put up, and, you know, it turned out to be right, but we just couldn't get the confirmation we needed. That happened to all... Listen, when we did Michael Jackson, when we did Michael Jackson's death, I mean, we knew it before, long before we put it up, but we needed to get certain... I mean, when I say we knew it, it was, you know, everything we had been hearing, he died in the house.
Right.
But... You know, we weren't ready to do it, and somebody else could easily have put it up before us if they would have had it, but we weren't going to do it until we knew it, and that's what you got to do. I mean,
I imagine the hardest part about your job is making sure that it's right when it goes up on the site.
Well, and look, I'm not, believe me, this is not me. I mean, I've got a big staff here, you know, that these guys are great. And so, you know, we have, you know, great producers and managers and, you know, researchers, and there's, you know, quality control.
Right.
I mean, they're really good. I don't want to, by any means, you know, just say, okay, I make a decision, and no, it doesn't work that way.
Have you been sued a lot, Harvey, by people that you've written about?
You know, I mean, I think the one, not a lot, but the one that just happened was Donald Sterling sued us, and they actually dismissed it on Friday.
Sweet.
Thursday or Friday. Yeah.
What did he sue you for?
He was saying that he felt that we shouldn't, that the tape violated his privacy. And, you know, again, you know, what Stiviano had always said, that he knew he was being taped and she had a bunch of them, but the judge threw it out. and said it was like a classic First Amendment story.
You know, if somebody had come up to you, Harvey, when you were a young law student and told you how you were going to be using your law degree one day in the future, you probably wouldn't have believed them.
No, no, no. You know, it's really funny. You're right, because I ended up teaching law school for a long time, and it just seemed like this path was ridiculous. But I had dinner with this woman who I went to law school with about 3 weeks ago, and she said, this never surprised me. And my roommate in law school said the same thing, and I had kind of forgotten this, that when People magazine came out, I was crazed. And we used to have this contest, in my roommate and I in Chicago, who could read People magazine on the train going from the south side of Chicago to the Loop, and who could read the entire magazine by then.
That's
and
a I, terrible I was, game.
That's the worst contest ever.
It was a terrible game, but law school was really just dark and difficult. So for me, it was like a fun game, and I was obsessed with People magazine at the time.
Isn't that
funny? And I forgot about that.
And it's so funny, Harvey, because Kevin and I were just reminiscing right before we got on the phone about when we first had you on, when TMZ started. And at the time,
you guys were great. You guys were so great. You guys put us on before anybody took us at all serious.
We really were great.
No, but what I was going to say is the odds were so and they still would be stacked against anyone who wants to get into the media game. Because at the time, I know this is hard to believe now because you guys are the 800-pound gorilla. But back then, there were people who said, we already have Entertainment Tonight. We already have People Magazine. We already have Access Hollywood.
Yeah.
We have, you know, and, I mean, there were a lot of people who thought, we just don't need another site, another gossip site.
Oh, I mean, I remember when we, even like coming up with a name, that it took a long time to sell this name to the powers that be because we were saying TMZ and nobody's going to remember it. And
Harvey, do you remember talking to us about that?
Did I ever tell you this story?
Well, I remember you being on the show telling us that the site was going to be called TMZ and why, and we said, that's a terrible title. No, that's a terrible way.
Yes. What I remember was some of the suits when I remember being in a room trying to convince them of this, and they said, everybody's going to confuse it for the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone in Vietnam. And I thought, nobody. I said, nobody. And we had a whole discussion about the Demilitarized Zone.
But wouldn't you say, even now, though, 10 years later, 99% of the people who know TMZ have no idea what it stands for. It's just become a name like IBM, right?
It's funny because I was at the gym yesterday, and one of the guards that was kind of standing there just said, "Hey, what does that thing stand for?"
Yeah,
and I remember, I told him the story, and they're all kind of interested in it. That it actually means something. And I remember when we came up with it, we said when we finally sold it, Jim Paratore, who you know, rest his soul, he was amazing. He was my partner in this. Jim had said, "Look." The way he finally convinced them was he said, look, we'll call it TMZ. If this thing ever works, then we've got a second story and we can explain what it means. And I thought, nobody's going to ever know that.
And who knew that one day the great Weird Al Yankovic would write a song about TMZ? Who knew, right?
I know.
All right, Harvey. Well, listen, congratulations, sincerely. Congratulations on 10 great years of good journalism there at TMZ.com.
And I got to tell you, look, got to tell you guys, I get stopped so much in L.A. with people telling me, oh, my God, I hear you guys on K-Rock all the time. And you guys have been, honestly, and you know it, too. I mean, you guys have been a thread throughout this whole thing. And so great. Thank you.
Our pleasure, man. Congratulations once again. TMZ all over the day at Fox Channel 11. That's the OG show. TMZ Live airs at 4 on Fox 11. And as Harvey made mentioned, starting tonight on Fox Sports 1 at midnight, the new home of TMZ Sports with exclusive up-to-the-minute off-field stories and breaking news on sports personalities making headlines around town. It's a great show as well. Harvey, congratulations, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Look, I get that a lot of people are tired of politicians. Politicians have done themselves no favors with the way they behaved over the years. But it is hilarious that the Republicans are determined to elect a man president who has never held an elective office. I mean, they are convinced that the way to go is to get somebody in there with no experience.
Hey, I'm just glad that Donald Trump is not alone anymore in entertaining us.
Yes, Ben Carson is really stepping up. He is. I think Bill Maher called him a Sleepy McCrazy Pants. I think is what he called him the other day. Ben Carson, who I am now becoming every bit as fascinated with as I am Donald Trump. By the way, he is a pediatric neurosurgeon. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Doctor, right. But he says the craziest things, and he also puts out the craziest campaign ads. I don't know if you've heard this yet or not, but this was Ben Carson's ad that he paid for and bought time that aired on radio last week.
Hear, vote, vote, inspire, vote, vote, revive, vote, vote, Ben Carson 2016. And support Ben Carson for our next president to be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of personal responsibility, hard work, creativity, innovation, and that's what will get us on the right track now.
He's not a very good rapper, I gotta tell you.
What a dynamic and exciting man he is. Anyway, Dr. Ben Carson very well could be the next president of the United States, so I think it's about time for us to start sucking up to him, and he joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Doctor, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What about that rap ad? You don't strike me as a guy who maybe necessarily is into rap music.
Oh, see, that's another misconception that the media are trying to and trying to smear me has mm-hmm. been saying that I'm not, you know, black enough.
Are you happy with that ad?
I am happy with that ad, and I think it's representative of me and how I love mad beats and how I can flow.
And Dr. Carson, you have said in your book that not only you attacked your mom with a hammer, but you also tried to stab your friend. And now media is coming out and saying, we're looking into his past. None of these things appear to have happened.
Yes.
What's going on?
That's exactly the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Uh-huh. How the media is trying to make it seem like I didn't try to stab a guy to death when I was 14.
Wait.
And that I didn't attack my own mother with a hammer, and I think that's reprehensible that they're trying to say that I didn't do those horrible things. I did do them.
I heard you saying that at the end of last week, and I thought, what presidential candidate is arguing with people that he did try to hit his mom with a hammer? That's insanity.
But what's insane is that the media is trying to make it sound like I didn't hit my own mother with a hammer. I mean, come on.
Maybe they're trying to help you out.
Well, that's not. They're saying that I'm a liar. And when I was 14, I tried to cut a bitch.
Okay.
And that, you know what they don't understand is that I'm a bad mamma jamma.
Okay.
And that my mother, she did not come correct. And so I had to step up to it, the bitch.
Right, but it just seems like with the hip hop and the gang violence that you're admitting to or possibly making up, it just seems like you're trying to come off as hard and street and tough. And there's nothing wrong with just being a smart intellectual guy in a suit. That's fine too.
No, I'm not. I am a smart guy in a suit, but mm-hmm. I'm thug life, yo.
And you're not thug life, Dr. Carson.
I'm not getting the thug life vibe from you.
Well, it's there.
You okay.
You just have to pay attention to all the OG gangster stuff that I do.
I feel like you're close to falling asleep every time I see you on TV, especially during the debates. It seems like you can barely keep your eyes open. You don't seem like a guy who's coiled and ready to strike.
Well, I think what this country needs is someone who's even-tempered and is reasonable mm-hmm. and who believes that being gay is a choice. And
I'm sorry, what?
Being gay is a choice that people make and that sometimes you got to stab a bitch. I think that's the kind of president this country needs, not politicians, but people who don't understand homosexuality who attack their mothers with hammers. That's what America needs.
Sounds to me like you got a new campaign slogan, Doctor.
Yeah. Pick up a hammer for Ben.
I'm not sure that's it.
Hit your mom with Ben.
I don't know. No.
Stab a bitch.
No, what?
Stab a bitch and hit your mother.
Nope.
In 2016. Hit your mom. Hit your mother. a mother with a hammer.
No, that's terrible. That's not...
Stab one of your friends.
That's a terrible thing to say.
For America.
Yes,
in 2016
USA.
With Ben, who's a bad mamma jamma. Also, as well, too.
USA! 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 USA!
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Coldplay is in town Friday night, doing a K-Rock-only show at the Belasco Theater. We would like you to be there. If you're a Coldplay fan, you can call us now at 1-800-520-1067. But I suspect it's not just as easy as dialing in and getting the tickets, right?
No, you have to know a lot, because our own Rodney Bingenheimer...
Boy, is he a fan.
Massive. He knows everything about Coldplay.
Wow.
So try and come up with any type of trivia that you can stump Rodney with, and then you'll go into the drawing. But, I mean, good luck.
Okay.
You're going to earn him.
He's Rodney.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Your Coldplay trivia question. See if you can get past the great legendary radio personality Rodney Bingenheimer. Get yourself in the drawing to win the tickets and join us Friday night at the Belasco. All the details at KROQ.com, by the way. We got tickets for you throughout the day on KROQ. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
The Bingers. I like to call them. The Bingers.
The Bingers.
That's what I call them when we're hanging out. Sometimes he and I just go to Cantor's, you know, get some matzo ball soup and go, yo, yo, the Binger's in the house.
Does he answer to the Binger?
He answers them with anything. Really. Just have to someone talking to him.
Yeah.
As expected, Spectre came in number one over the weekend with an impressive $74 million at the box office.
I was surprised, Ralph, that it did not make as much money as Skyfall. How come?
Competition. Peanuts movie. Siphoned away $45 million of the box office this weekend.
That makes sense.
Skyfall had less competition in its opening weekend. But still, impressive nonetheless, and it is on pace to do almost as well as Skyfall.
Yeah, I've heard it's made over $300 million worldwide already.
Yeah, it... Skyfall was the first Bond movie ever to break the $1 billion mark, and they're not saying it'll do that, but certainly it'll get close.
Can I tell you guys a funny story? I see Spectre. I walk out of the theater, and a guy without saying, hey, how's it going, or I love your show, or anything, goes, was it loud?
Yay! The Louds.
So was it?
Yeah,
it was.
What'd you think of Spectre, Kevin?
I loved it.
What'd you think of it, Allie?
Crazy action,
good.
Allie.
When he was like, hey, psh, with the
right,
shoe.
That part.
That was my
with the
favorite.
Shoe, the shoe
yeah,
gun?
With the shoe gun?
Yeah.
Was there a
Are
shoe gun?
Are you thinking
gun?
To Get Smart?
Nope.
What's happening?
Not
a shoe gun.
Once again, she's thinking to Get Smart.
No.
Sorry. My bad.
As I mentioned, Peanuts movie, $45 million in his debut. Then The Martian, Goosebumps, Bridge of Spies, your top five movies at the box office. Hotel Transylvania was two. Burnt, The Last Witch, Hunter, The Intern, and Paranormal Activity, Ghost Dimension. Number 10, Don't Tell Me That You Can't Learn Things From Television, Kids. Staten Island teenager over the weekend saved his friend from choking by applying the Heimlich maneuver. When asked where he learned it, he responded, SpongeBob SquarePants.
How about that?
How about that? SpongeBob saving lives.
Like he does.
Mm-hmm. You think, park my kid in front of television, that makes me a bad parent? Wrong. You're teaching your kid important life lessons. Like how to make Krabby Patties and how to save a kid from choking. Kid learned about the Heimlich from watching SpongeBob SquarePants. His friend, the Staten Island teenager who was choking, learned about choking from watching the Mets. So there's a lot on television where you can learn things from things. Did I mention things? Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live.
It paid, oh, dear God in heaven.
It paid off for them to do it. Big ratings. Much more so than the biggest overall ratings on the show since Charles Barkley hosted in January 7th of 2012. It's the last time it had ratings that high. It got me. It sucked me in.
Yeah.
Sucked a lot of people
in. And what'd you think, Ralph?
You know what? Fool me once. Shame on me. Won't be fooled again.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
I know
going back
is,
to that well because
same.
It is poison.
I know it is
that
very
was very fashionable.
Fantastic show.
Rail
it's not
on
fashionable
SNL.
To rail. This Look, is the first time I've watched it.
Me too.
Or
first
any
time
part
I watched
of it.
The whole one, stop to finish, and it was rough.
Look, here's the thing about Saturday Night Live.
It's bad.
No, the thing about Saturday Night Live is it's worth tuning into for a few moments. Kevin, you're a guy who will pay to go to a theater.
Yeah.
If you get a couple of laughs, you go, okay, it was worth my time.
Okay.
Saturday Night Live comes into your house for free.
What moment Saturday were worth tuning in for?
First of all, Larry David as Bernie Sanders killed.
Saw it last time. Not nearly as good as the last time he did it. No, not even close.
Donald Trump dancing to the Hotline Bling was worth the whole show for me. Just seeing him do that dance to the Hotline Bling was worth the whole show to me. And
wow,
I thought Weekend Update was very funny as well.
You are easy. Whew. Man.
Is her name Leslie Jones?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was great. Everything else sucked.
She's always funny. Yeah.
Him playing that stupid laser harp and all that.
Not all the sketches worked. It wasn't a great
episode.
What
about him tweeting live in their sketch and they were worried about what he was saying about them?
Come on.
Yeah, they didn't give those actors much to work with in that
one. And the opening thing, the interview, the Rachel Maddow bit with the talking.
What
to
about
the
your girl, Kate McKinnon's Hillary Clinton, funny as always?
Not even close to it as the medium of what she usually does with that impression.
Look,
it was a fail.
It's a free show, and you get your money's worth
when
you tune in.
Sit down. Funniest thing on the show was Sia's performance. She had a giant bow on her head, and she was wearing a Cruella de Vil wig. But other than that, there was no laughs to be had. I rolled around on the floor with the Kung Fu lady and her.
Kung Fu lady
together.
Was freaking weird.
What is Sia's actual deal, by the way?
Funniest part
What's
of the
happening
show by
there?
Far.
I don't know.
How much money do you think they spent on that Bad Girls video piece with the explosions and the guns and the humorless intermittent scenes?
Yes, not great.
Not great.
Beyond not great.
Yeah, way beyond not great. It was offensively bad. It was aggressively
crappy. Physically painful.
This sounds horrible.
It was a nightmare.
It was terrible.
It sounds horrible.
It was a cluster F of mythic proportions. But there you go.
I'm only going to watch it like three or four more times.
Right.
I'm giving up.
I'm tuning in every week because there's a moment where I don't hate it.
There's always a moment or two.
That's what I live for, moments I don't hate.
By the way, what
the
about...
The bees like it. When I put the bees in the hive in front of it, they enjoy it.
What about Drunk Uncle during the Weekend Update? I thought that was very funny. The guy who was playing the crazy Trump supporter. That was a very funny.
There were some funny lines in there.
Yeah, look, that's the thing I'm telling you about SNL, and you should know this. It's not going to be great from start to finish. It's not a scripted show. It's a show that they put together in 4 days.
Did you DVR it?
Yes.
Okay, that's important because this. Yeah. I watched it live.
I watched it as well.
And so, if something starts going south, I feel like you could just hit fast forward and you'd be all right. But man.
Well, now you've learned your lesson.
It was an hour and a half of just hell.
Oh, it should never take an hour and a half. You should be through Saturday Night Live in 40 minutes tops.
Also, you're forgetting by the fact that this show used to be one of the best comedy shows on television. It used to be
untrue.
Well, that's
okay.
I don't know where to go from
here.
That's just madness.
It's not madness. It's in retro. Your memory is always that 5 years ago or 10 years ago, whenever it was that you were watching Saturday Night Live, was great. But the reality
is the reality.
The reality. Yes, Kevin, you're right. The reality was there were great moments back then too. You remember those great moments, but you forget all the fluff that was around those moments that wasn't that good.
Now there used to be a lot better. More moments than there are now.
Consistently
more moments.
That was rough.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm a lifelong fan of Saturday Night Live, I don't think that's true.
You're a lifelong of a fan of a show that you admit was never very good. That's what
you're saying. What I'm saying is it's always
been not good,
and
you're
always a fan. And that you fast forward through. I always look forward to it.
It's my favorite show that I fast forward
to. My husband only beats me like one day out of the week. The other days are fine. So I'm happy in this marriage because I only get roughed up a couple of days a week. The other days, they just ignore me.
There's enough good stuff
down.
In every episode to make it worth tuning in for.
Nope. That was terrible.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk. 64 years old today. Peppa. Peppa.
Why aren't we digging up Beer Mug's interview with the Incredible Hulk, by the way? That's what we need for Lou Ferrigno's birthday today.
We'll do that for next hour.
All right. Peppa's 46 years old today. Chris Jericho's 45. Eric Dane used to be on Grey's Anatomy. Is he still on Grey's Anatomy?
No,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, but I hear there's one or two moments in each show that make it worth tuning in for. Mick Lachey is 42. Oh, that 98 degrees?
Mm-hmm.
They were good.
Yeah.
Not as good as Cisco, though. Cisco's birthday today is 37.
Oh, yeah.
Trump dancing to that song. That'd be perfect. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
106.7 Rodney on the Rock in the morning.
I haven't mic up yet, Rodney. I'm sorry. Know. Because it's not. It's our.
I'm used to working on my own show when my microphone's on.
Right.
That's why it makes me want to talk when music stops.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt my show. Rodney on the Rock, 106.7.
Hey, listen, K-Rock. We're glad you're here, though, because we want you to help us give away a pair of tickets to the private K-Rock show with the band Coldplay.
Oh, right.
This Coldplay. Friday night at the Bellagio. You're a big fan of Coldplay, I understand.
I'm a big fan of the Bellagio, too. I go there and watch the Fountain.
This is the Bellagio Theater in L.A. This is not in Las Vegas. But listen, Coldplay
Have
is going to be there.
You
can't buy tickets.
Different places.
What? You can only win them from K-Rock.
How much are tickets?
If you don't get in, you can't buy them. If you don't get in, you can watch the live stream Friday night on Tidal. And don't forget the new Coldplay album, A Head Full of Dreams, comes out on December the 4th. But we want to give away some tickets right now to this show at 1-800-520-1067. If you've got a Coldplay trivia question and you're prepared to stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig wham bam.
All right, K-Rock 106.7, Rodney on the morning show.
Rodney, we're going to go to some calls here with Coldplay trivia questions. Now, again, they're only going to be questions about the band Coldplay.
All
so
right.
This doesn't have to do with the 80s music that you love that you play on the Rodney on the Rock show, okay? Because you love the 80s, right?
I love the 80s.
And how do you feel about the 90s?
I hate the 90s.
Okay, but Coldplay you also love.
I love Coldplay. Don't forget, you can buy your tickets for the show at the Bellagio
in Las Vegas.
It's at the this Friday.
Let's try Jose in L.A. Let's get us started here on line three, please, with a trivia question. If you can stump Rodney Bingenheimer with Coldplay, you are in the drawing to win
all
the tickets.
Right.
Good morning, Jose.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Welcome to AM Rodney.
Hey, Rodney, before the name Coldplay, what was their original name?
The Monkees. Band called the Monkees.
Is it the Monkees?
No.
It was?
Starfish.
Chocolate Starfish?
Close.
Jose, what did you say? What was the name?
Starfish.
The Starfish.
Starfish.
Okay. All right. You're in the drawing.
I call something else the Starfish.
Yeah, we don't.
Chocolate Starfish, too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I said. The first joke I made, I said chocolate starfish.
Well, I thought that's what Jose said. I'm very confused by this. All right.
This
let's
is
try,
why I hate the 90s.
But the chocolate.
Let's try Jody in HB line one, please.
Hey, Jody.
Hey.
You're on Stump Rodney.
All right, Jody.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right, Jody. I like Jody.
I'm excited.
I hope you win.
I always wanted to talk to you, Rodney.
I've always wanted to do something with you, too, Jody.
Ooh.
All right.
What's happening?
Jody, what's your question for Rodney, please?
What was Coldplay's first song title?
Coldplay's first song
title?
Title. Putting on the Ritz. All right, what I win.
Well, that's not a Coldplay song.
Do I have to tell him he's wrong?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that's not correct.
What was it?
It was Yellow.
All right. Mellow.
All right. You are in the drawing. Thank you so much, Jody. Let's
Something
try.
Weird going on with Jody, by the way.
I agree.
Nothing's wrong with her at all. She's perfect.
That's what I meant.
Let's try Monica, Los Angeles, line
let's
6.
Let's try Monica.
She's got some deep background on Coldplay here. She's going to try to stump Rodney. Good luck.
I need a little Monica in my life.
Oh. Good morning.
Rodney. All right, Monica. What question do you have here on Rodney in the morning?
No, it's Stump Rodney.
A.M. Rodney. What are we calling the morning show
it's
now?
It's still the Kevin and Bean Show.
Not for long.
Okay.
The question is, where did Chris Martin and Johnny Buckland meet?
Where did they meet?
Met... In Berlin.
Actually, they met at the University College London.
That's not even a real place.
It is a real place.
University College. You're making it up. It's like saying I went to high school.
All right. You did stump Rodney, Monica. You are in the drawing to win the tickets this Friday night.
I went to Grammar Elementary School.
All right. Let's
next
try
middle junior high school.
Let's try Edgar in Ontario. This is an interesting
question.
It's not question,
fair. Rodney. They just make answers up.
Roddy, this is a question that we have given you the answer in this segment. So let's see if you know what Edgar's going to ask you here.
All right, Edgar, hi.
Good morning, guys.
You're on with Rodney.
All right, Rodney. What is the name of Coldplay's new album?
99 Luftballons.
All now, right, does that sound right to you, Rodney?
That's why I said it, because it sounded right to me. Why would I say it if it didn't sound right to me?
Is it right, Edgar?
I'm sorry, Rodney. You were wrong. It's A Head Full of Dreams.
No.
What do you mean, no?
It isn't. I'm pretty sure that's
it is. It's coming out on December 4th. It's called A Head Full of Dreams. Mm. Edgar is correct.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
All right. Let's do one more. Edgar, you're in the drawing. Thank you. Let's go Doug Whittier, line 7. He's got a question for you, Rodney.
All right.
Morning. What morning, guys. Win. How you doing, Rodney?
I'm great. How are you doing in this fine morning? Don't eat razor blades.
It's good tip.
Okay. Thank Coldplay had a very popular song off their first album.
Yes.
And the associated music video with it went in reverse. What
right.
was it?
Funky Town.
Cool. No, that's not it.
Yeah. Did you say Funky Town?
Mm-hmm. I want to take you to.
But you know that's not a Coldplay song, right, Rodney?
Doug, is it
the
Funky
answer,
Town?
The answer was The Scientist.
Scientist.
So you know that song, Rodney?
Mm. You don't know anything about Coldplay.
She blinded me with scientists.
That's,
I know that song.
That's very different.
Scientists.
All right. Doug, hold on.
She blinded me with scientists.
You are in the drawing. Edgar is in
Miss
the drawing.
Miss Yoshimoto, you've tied it up and I can't find anything.
As is Monica, Jose, and Jody. All in the drawing. Only one will win their way in to this Friday night at the Belasco. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Monica.
Monica.
All right, Monica. Well, dogs are angry now.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
Last hour, we announced, and all the details are up at krock.com. If you would like to be Miss Double December 2016, we are open for business. Go to krock.com, get all the details, upload your photos, fill out the questionnaire, and we will see you soon, December 4th, as you are crowned Miss Double December to represent the Kevin and Bean Show through all of next year. Go to Acoustic Christmas, go to the Weenie Roast, go to the singles parties, April Foolishness, the whole deal. It's really a lot of fun. We'll look forward to meeting you and hanging out with you again. Details at krock.com.
Did you guys see the UFO?
It wasn't a UFO.
Did you see the UFO?
Kevin.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Well, then how do you know?
Because it was, because we know what it was.
What was
we
it?
Know what they told us it was.
What did they tell us it was, B?
That it was a missile test flight from a submarine off the coast of California.
And what would they tell us if it was a UFO?
That it was a missile
correct.
Test flight off a submarine off the coast of California.
That's my point.
Here's the report on CNN talking about the panic that broke out Saturday night as a bright white light shot through the night skies.
All right, look at this. I know a lot of people in L.A. were looking at it. A mysterious light rattled some nerves in Southern California. Police got a lot of calls. Some people posted video all over social media wondering if this was a UFO. Well, U.S. military officials say, don't worry, this is just a missile test, pre-planned,
sure.
And this missile was not armed. No weapons on board.
Look, I know that there are people who are always suspicious of the government, and I get that. And I think perhaps with good reason. But I also think it's unlikely that it was an alien spaceship flying through the skies.
Nobody wants to believe in aliens more than you, Bean. What
I know.
What happened to you? Where have you gone?
I want the aliens to come, but I don't think this is it. But I know that there are people who are convinced that there is more to this story than we are being told by the government. And those are the people that we are looking for right now. We want you to call us if you don't believe the government's explanation that it was a missile test flight from a submarine. Tell us why. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number you can call us here at K-Rock.
You know what is sort of weird is that when people see a light like that, they never, ever, ever, ever first go, hey, I wonder if the government's testing some type of missile or plane. Or no one thinks that ever.
Right.
It's always UFO.
Here's what my first thought was when I started seeing everything pop up on social media about this missile, is that I do remember a couple of days ago that they rerouted air traffic at LAX. Mm-hmm. You guys probably heard that. It was all over the news that people who, the planes that normally would fly out over the ocean were going to be flying over neighborhoods, and they were alerting people, don't be concerned. It's a temporary air traffic control pattern change.
Yeah, and letting them know it's going to be a lot noisier, so don't worry about it. Everything's okay.
So when I had that information in the back of my brain, and then when they said it was a missile test, I thought, well, of course that makes sense. They don't want planes flying over the ocean where the missile is going to be flying out of a submarine. So to me, maybe they were just covering their bases and trying to make it look like, you know, it is what they say it is. But it made total sense to me that this was a missile test.
Yeah.
Based on what we had heard previously about the change in air traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't it weird that
weird
there was also
change in air traffic story
that... meteor shower at the same time? Come on!
Answer that, Bean.
Come on, Bean.
I've got nothing for you on the, sure. on the meteor shower.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. I think it is more likely than not that it wasn't aliens for the same reason that the aliens never seem to come, because we would know if the aliens come. If the aliens showed up, believe me, we would know about it. Everybody would know about it. It wouldn't be the type of thing that that
everyone would be rumored about it, by the way.
let's take a call from Danielle in Sherman Oaks. She has special insight into this story, and we want to take your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. Or you can text us, the number 2KROQ, 25767, if you've got thoughts on this, if you don't believe it was a missile. Danielle, why is it you think you might know something about this?
My husband is actually part of the USS Kentucky crew that's on the boat right now.
What?
So he tells you, Danielle.
What?
Yeah. So
and what did he tell you?
I can confirm it was definitely a missile launch. Mm,
yeah.
They are unarmed and they were testing the boat right now.
And how do we know you're not with the government?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might be.
See?
So, in other words, he's on the USS Kentucky, and it comes down from the commander, hey, everybody, lie to your families and support this smokescreen that we're putting up, that we're sending out a missile.
Yes, absolutely. Because
okay,
we're
right.
shooting aliens outside of
yeah.
LA.
Well, maybe. Hey, don't be so flip.
Well, you've certainly done your job by getting it on the radio. So you've spread
yes,
your lies,
yes.
Danielle. Well done. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mario. He's in Pomona. He's up next. He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Hey, Mario.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Long-time listener.
Thank
Love you.
You
guys.
UFO, though, right?
Something besides the missile. I mean, think about it. All these missiles are supposed to be government secrets, right? So all of a sudden, when we see something up in the sky, they say, hey, it's a missile, you guys. When all that stuff's supposed to be kept top secret. So all of a sudden, they're going to tell us that it's a missile.
So you're saying they never come out and say that it's a missile test, so the fact that they are coming out and saying it's a missile test means it's not true.
It could be anything.
I do want to ask you this question, Mario, and I understand the reasoning with which you're calling. Why would they need, if they're testing a missile from a submarine, why would they need to do it so close to a populated area? Why cause a panic like this? It's a submarine. It could have been in the middle of the ocean. They could have done the exact same test, and none of us ever would have seen it. Why not do that?
I mean, it's the same thing when they send the bomber. We're not even supposed to know when that thing is flying up in the sky, and yet we never notice that thing.
Are you talking about Edwards Air Force Base?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what do you think this was on Saturday night?
At first, I thought it was a comet, to be honest with you, because I'm always looking up at the sky for those types of things, and it looked like a comet from far away. First, it looked like a satellite, but as soon as it exploded, and I saw this flash of light, and it kind of looked like a firework. I thought from there, I was like, okay, that's not a comet because comets don't really explode like that.
Hey, I'm intrigued by Mario's analysis here. Why is the phone ringing?
How am I supposed to know?
Thank you for the call.
It happens.
1-800-520-1067. By the way, we have he's already gone. We've got several calls from people who are convinced it was not. Who keeps hitting the phone? Stop it. Convinced it was not a missile. We'll find out why when we return after this on K-Rock. Beautiful, talented actress Lake Bell joins us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning here on K-Rock. The beautiful, talented Andrew Siciliano will be here to recap the NFL weekend at about 8:15 or so. Right now, we're talking to our listeners who are convinced the government is lying. That was not a missile test on Saturday night. That light in the sky. By the way, Allie, where was it seen? From where to where?
There were reports from San Francisco down to Tijuana, as far out as Nevada. I mean, this was seen all over the place. So that's questionable, isn't it?
I don't know too much about the range of missiles, but...
About the range of UFOs?
That's a great question. I think they can go anywhere. All right, let's try Summer. She's in Huntington Beach. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to our listeners for the real story, man. We can't trust what the government says. Got a freaking Kenyan running this country. We're going to believe him?
I don't think he's a Kenyan.
Summer, what's going on?
Okay, so I was driving with my boyfriend when I saw this thing, and at first it was like the other guy said, it started off looking kind of like a comet or a satellite, but it was like this bright orange light, and it was just cruising. Like,
right, but cruising. Do you believe the government's account of what it is?
Oh, no way. This thing had like a tail on it and like kind of like blew up with an orange flash. So we followed it in the car because we thought it was so weird. And like, I'm so glad someone else saw it from the beginning because I know everyone saw the big blue light. But before that, it was looked like a comet and then it just blew up.
How far did you follow it?
We followed it like down a couple blocks. Like we were driving and we just watched it from the beginning and we were so tripped out. We're like, what?
See, people,
that?
Summer followed a couple of blocks.
That's the kind of commitment you don't get from most kids these days. So, Summer, if you were on a lie detector and somebody insisted that you tell your deepest, deepest truth, what do you think it was?
I hope it was a UFO.
Well, we all do. All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that. Let's go to Brandon Northridge. He's up next, line six on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Brandon.
Hello.
Hello. What do you think about?
I don't think it was a missile. I think it was a UFO.
All right. Tell us why.
Well, CNN said that there was LAX put out warnings about it about a week ago, but I didn't hear any of it. And there's government-paid employees in CNN who could have easily just did that to prove that, to cover it up.
Well, Brandon, just because you didn't see the reports doesn't mean they didn't exist.
Yeah.
They were actually on the news for a while.
Okay. Glad you called, though, buddy. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to David, Riverside, line two. I don't know why you're so quick to get that young man off the phone. He sounded very credible to me.
My favorite new thing is watching all of the people as they're videotaping because they're trying to make sense of it, and the play-by-play is great.
It's really good.
Well, because, Kevin, you think you're seeing something that's never happened before. You know what I mean? I mean, you think this is it. Alien invasion. I am watching. It is live 2015. It's over.
I just tweeted a video where the guy goes, it did a shiny light.
From the ocean.
Over the ocean.
All right, David, what say you, sir?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, guys. So first of all, it was going from the east to the west. How is that a rocket being going towards the Pacific? I don't believe it was a rocket. I think it was a meteor that almost hit us. They just don't want to tell us.
Mass
panic.
So you think it was a meteor that astronomers missed, something they didn't know was going to get so close to Earth?
I don't think they wanted to tell us that it might hit LA. I think it came damn close.
Okay. How do you know it went from west to east or east to west? What did you say? West to east?
I saw it from the east going towards the Pacific. If a rocket made a U-turn, how can it do that? It's going towards the Pacific. That's what nobody keeps explaining.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about that. I thought it had gone from south to north. I hadn't heard about the east-west deal, so I don't know about that. But that is interesting.
I was going down to 60. It was going from east to west. I mean, that's all I could say.
All right.
It is interesting. Thank you for the call, David. It is interesting that we often wonder what the government would tell us because they don't want there to be panic. If a meteor were coming toward Earth that was going to hit the west coast of the United States and potentially kill millions of people, do you think they would alert us ahead of time so that we could evacuate or not?
They would not, sir. They would not.
Really? They'd just let it ride?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Let's try Mike in Riverside. He's up next. He's on line four.
All right. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You believe our government?
No.
Liars, right?
Liars. So here's the thing. If they were so serious about this test, they would have made it a wide known thing ahead of time. You know, it's not like they had a little meeting and he's like, hey, we're going to do a test off Southern California Saturday night. Sir, should we tell anyone about this? Nah, they'll figure it out. Like, they didn't make it a big deal ahead of time. They don't let us know. And then after the fact, they tell us.
But, Mike, let me ask you this question. I don't feel like they ever announce when they're doing testing of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't want other foreign governments to be aware of when our tests are so that they can have eyes on it. I think they do count on the element of surprise when it comes to missile tests. But, again, I don't understand why they wouldn't test this out in the middle of the ocean so there wouldn't be millions of witnesses.
Exactly. So my whole point is either it's UFOs or they're totally incompetent, and either way, I'm terrified.
Okay.
That's a good point.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Can we take Emily and Yorba Linda? She works for the Mutual UFO Network.
Oh, they must be so excited.
Emily, what's up?
Hello.
Good. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Tell us what you know. Your inside sources with the Mutual UFO Network. What are they talking about?
So, because this happened over Saturday, obviously the office isn't open, but I'm sure the off, like I'm sure the phones are ringing off the hook. I'm
what
sure
kind of joint are you guys running there?
Well, everyone is a volunteer, and they volunteer their time. So, you know, people kind of go in when they can. But, yeah, I also manage their – I help manage their, like, Facebook page, and it was blowing up on Saturday.
Right.
The amount of people that were saying what it was, and then we said, no, it's a missile, and they were not happy about it.
Well, you don't want to go to the UFO network and get told it's a missile. That's a letdown.
No, we count on you to let us – to keep hope alive that it's a UFO.
From the way that it looks like, and, you know, our field investigators were right on it. Yes, we have field investigators. Think of, like, the X-Files, just probably not as intense. But basically, you know, they were looking at it, and they said, no, it looks like a missile, and people were not happy about that at all.
Sad day when the government now has taken over the Mutual UFO expert. That's really sad.
Yes, because
they got
because
to you.
They really pay us so much money.
Is there somebody with a gun to your head right now?
No, I'm sitting in my car on my way to work.
What about Mario, who writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account? Yes, hell yes, it was a missile that was sent to destroy the UFO.
Boom.
It could very well be possible. Who knows?
All right, we're hanging on to hope. Thanks, Emily.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:51.
Edmund Fitzgerald Eve here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Big celebration planned for tomorrow, commemorating the 40th anniversary. Sinking of the wreck. It's going to be a big show tomorrow, you guys. Come on.
Stop talking about that. No one cares.
It's not a thing, first of all. And
it is
secondly,
a thing.
Stop it.
It's a historical anniversary of a famous event that will be commemorated tomorrow on this program. But I'm looking ahead.
I'm calling it sick. I'm letting you know now. I'm getting sick.
We want to take your calls on any other topic besides the UFO invasion over the weekend.
Oh, you don't look good. Ooh.
Oh, you don't look good either.
I don't feel good.
Hey, the fewer of you are here, the fewer of you are going to stand in the way of my nonstop wall-to-wall
and
Edmund Fitzgerald
coverage.
And the
fewer that will be listening.
I don't care about the listeners at this point. Come on,
that's true.
Isn't that a painful?
Here's
obvious.
What we want to do. We want to open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. We just spent a bunch of time talking to the whack jobs about the missile on Saturday night. Now, any other topic is on the table. What kinds of things would you like people to call about?
Well, it's all things. It's sports. It's entertainment. It's TV. It's questions they have about the Kevin and Bean Show. Whatever. Whatever you want answered. Whatever you want. Maybe we're missing a big story. Let us know what it is.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You can be part of the Kevin and Bean Show this Monday morning if you want to call now for What's Good. Rob was here now. Time for the show. Please be on a Monday. What's up?
Listener Edwin wants to know if Bean would have a UFO podcast if he had more time.
As a matter of fact, I was thinking about that.
He would have the best UFO podcast in the world.
I'm telling you, we might have to hire this guy. Every time he writes something, it makes me laugh.
Yeah, he's
and
funny.
He sent in today like a script for a sketch where Bean gets attacked by bees. And I've been just laughing in the other room, just laughing my pants off. This guy may be the salvation. He's also the man who said, I agree with Bean. I think it's important sometimes to listen to a horrible show just for a few chuckles. Why do you think I tune into the Kevin and Bean Show?
Well played.
He's got a point there.
Now, who are we replacing if we hired Edwin? Because I doubt they're gonna allow us to hire
either one of us.
Else. Okay.
Or both.
We've got enough tape on both of you guys. I think we can just splice you into the show.
It lasts forever.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, James Bond came in at number one. $74 million Spectre made in its debut. Second at the box office was the Peanuts movie, $45 million. Then The Martian, Goosebumps, and Bridge O' Spies at number five. Hotel Transylvania 2 was sixth. Burnt. The Last Witch Hunter, The Intern, and Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, came in at number 10. While we're talking about things death-related, Bean loves the death and the disasters and the maritime disasters. There was a menu from the last dinner served to first-class passengers aboard the Titanic, just before it sank in 1912, that somehow survived the sinking of that ship.
Mm-hmm.
Sold at auction on Saturday. For $118,000 for a piece of paper that said beef on it.
Just that one word?
Well, there was other things on the menu.
What do you do with that?
You put it in your collection of famous shipwreck memorabilia.
Pieces of paper.
Also in the death auction.
Bean must have been all over this auction.
Oh, is he excited? A telegram, which Western Union had sent to the Titanic's owner in New York, that read, "Sinking fast, come to our assistance."
That's a nice artifact.
Yeah. The pair of license plates from the limousine that drove President John F. Kennedy through downtown Dallas were up for auction. They sold for $100,000. What are you going to do with those, Bean?
Just put them in the museum. Yeah, you know, sure. Hang on to them.
Like you do.
Long enough so some other sucker will buy them 20 years down the road.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. Sometimes I have to edit myself for taste, and I think that was one of those circumstances.
Wow.
While we're talking about television, now they're making television about... these are like shows only Kevin would watch. I don't know what's happening.
So they're great
shows?
No, not great.
The opposite of great. Oh, do you remember a show called Mr. Ed?
Sure.
About a man and his talking horse?
Of course.
Inexplicable that ever became a TV show. Inexplicable. Unforgivable.
I never watched it, but it just seems
it was
dumb.
The 60s, apparently, where anything went. You could put anything on television. But those days are gone now, right?
I think people at that time were endlessly amused that you could make it look like a horse was talking. That was the whole deal with that show, right?
Wilbur, what are you going to do now, buddy? I mean, they would have conversations in the backyard like it mattered. Well, Kevin, you'll be happy to know ABC is working on a new series called Downward Dog, about a down-on-her-luck lady whose devoted dog speaks its mind in confessional-style interviews.
Confessional-style interviews?
You know, on Modern Family,
like
when they cut away and Claire and Phil are talking about their family on the couch, and they're talking directly to the camera.
And that's going
to
be the dog?
The dog will be interviewed about this woman's life, and he will share with us his thoughts. Because he's a talking dog.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right now, that click you hear... is a young television writer putting the gun to his head and pulling the hammer back. He probably has a dozen great television ideas sitting on his desk, and they're going to develop the talking dog show.
Yeah.
The end times, man. It's the end times. And you guys see Sylvester Stallone in Philly on Friday?
I did not.
Very exciting. Had a press conference for his upcoming movie, Creed, which opens up just before Thanksgiving. And he did so on the top of the stairs of the Philadelphia Art Museum, where he famously scaled those stairs in 1976 in the movie Rocky. He was there with the mayor, Michael Nutter, mayor of Philadelphia, who gave him a small Liberty Bell as a token of his thanks. One that is available in almost every cheap gift shop in Philadelphia.
It's like 99 cents?
It was not a proud moment.
Next to the spoon?
As a Philadelphia watch. Really? That's what you're going to give the guy?
And not a bell, you know. You have a bell put on, you know, a paperweight or put on, you know, a shelf. No, I'm real proud to have your bell. You're going to stick a bell? I got a bell now?
That's Stallone.
Is that that Rocky movie, is that Philadelphia's greatest cinema moment, Ralph?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Looks, I mean, there's been other
kind of a big deal.
It's Rocky or it's AIDS lawyers. Those pretty much are our two choices
right.
when it comes to Philadelphia movie moments.
Okay.
So
all right.
We err on the side of uplifting more than anything else. That looks great, by the way. That Creed.
So good.
Does look good.
They've announced they've got two more in the works.
Wow. Two more.
Creed 2 and Creed 3 are already on the drawing board.
Okay.
And this will make you feel old. Stallone said in this interview on Friday that he now is the same age that Burgess Meredith was when he played Mickey in the first Rocky movie.
The first Rocky movie, he looked
100
years old.
He was 69 years old.
Wow.
And Stallone now at 69 is the same age that Burgess Meredith was when he played Mickey for the first time. And he is taking on the mantle of the trainer, so it's sort of like a passing of the torch.
Well, I guess if Michael B. Jordan is coming back as Creed, I guess we know he doesn't die in the ring in this movie.
I guess not. Unless he's Ghost Creed. That would be a great second film.
Yeah, because,
there you go.
Ghost Creed, Paranormal Creed, the ghost fight.
It sounds racist.
No, it's not. It's about ghosts.
So tell me, like, how this story... Is this based on real life?
Yes, it is. There was a real Apollo Creed, and he actually had an illegitimate son who became a fighter.
Got a bell in my hand. I don't even know it. It's a small bell. It's never a Liberty Bell. It's just a bell. Now what do I do with it?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Nick Lachey is 42 years old today. Eric Dane is 34. Rapper Cisco, best known for his thong, 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 thong song, is 37. Chris Jericho is 45. Peppa of Salt, Peppa, turns 46. And the legendary Lou Ferrigno, not only one time one of the premier bodybuilders in the sport, but of course went on to fame as the Incredible Hulk. Really, just a terrific guy. I remember that time Beer Mug went down to talk to him at that thing.
How has life been for you up to today?
Life has been great. Last week I just did the voice for the Incredible Hulk. And also I'm looking forward to see the upcoming Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, because I hear you're on that.
That's probably why he's looking forward to it.
Is this the best question ever?
How has life been for you up to today?
How has life been for you up till today?
It is the best question ever.
Let's take a quick look back over the past 63 years, Lou. If you could just encapsulate the past six decades or so of your life real quickly for this radio interview.
But do it day by day.
Yeah. What's it been like for you?
Not just how's life been for you up to today?
Right. How's life been for you up till today?
I love it.
Happy birthday, 64th birthday to Lou Ferrigno. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Host of DirecTV's Red Zone and talking head on the NFL Network, our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us in studio coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, 1-800-520-1067. We have a question for you. What's good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Kevin, you said let's have some people call in. Maybe there's some stuff we're not talking about that we should be. I think Brianna has one of those things from Long Beach on line 3. Fascinating story. Brianna, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's good?
Good morning. Did you hear about the guy who jumped and or committed suicide on the Royal Caribbean cruise this weekend?
Oh, I saw the video that people shot looking over the side of the boat while he was holding on for dear life right before he fell into the water.
Right, yeah. So Royal Caribbean is saying that he committed suicide, while his family is saying that he jumped after getting into a fight with the cruise ship members over anti-gay remarks that they made towards him and his husband.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too. What do you think? I mean, it's weird. What do you think happened? I mean, if somebody says mean things to you, does that make you want to jump off the boat on your honeymoon?
I definitely don't think so, but I think it's going to be interesting on how all of this pans out, because it seems like a really, really bizarre story, and it doesn't look good for any party. I definitely don't think highly of Royal Caribbean for, making these statements, especially when looks like there's some big conflicting evidence as to what happened on that day.
Well, I mean, I don't think they know what happened. I do know that the video is terrifying. Have you guys seen it, by the way?
No,
the video Brianna's talking about?
No, I chose not to watch it because I'm not in love with death.
I'm not in love with death either. But this guy,
yes,
guy is holding on the side of the ship, and there are all these people who are filming him and standing essentially just helpless, looking over the side of the ship, not able to reach him, not able to figure out any way to get him up until he falls into the ocean. It's heartbreaking.
Ghouls.
Really sad.
Ghouls.
It's rough.
And you know what doesn't help him? Videoing him, by the way. That's the one thing that's definitely not going to help him.
Unless it is useful in an investigation as to what happened.
That's what they were thinking. They were thinking, this will come in handy later in the investigation. That's why I need to film this, not because I'm a ghoul.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Sanchez in Lancaster. Line 7 up next.
All right. Hey, Sanchez.
Hey, bros. What I want to talk about is, after what that lady just called about, man, that's pretty depressing, dude. And what I feel, what I want to say, kind of like, totally the change of, that's terrible. I feel bad for that.
I'm very confused what you're saying right now.
We all feel bad for that dude.
Oh, you say the last caller bummed you out, but you weren't going to talk about that. Okay.
It's okay. Thank you. Yeah. So anyways, I mean, I don't want to say anyways, but another topic.
I speak Sanchez.
Yeah.
Quite fluently.
Why
is it Sanchez doing the news? I want Sanchez to be on my TV every day.
Follow up with that caller.
All right. We understand. It's a change of course. We know. This bit is just all about different topics. It's okay. Go ahead. Feel free.
So I saw this documentary about Adam West getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and you guys were totally involved in that, correct?
Mostly
correct.
Ralph, but yeah, we'll take the credit for it, sure.
Ralph is all in that.
It's called Starring Adam West is the documentary you're talking about, and it's been on Showtime now for a while.
Dude, I just saw it recently. That was so freaking awesome, man. That was like, man, Ralph, you the man, dude. I can't believe, I never knew Mr. Adam West never had a star. All those years, I mean, all the great memories of growing up. I'm 35. I grew up, you know, watching the show on TV reruns. And as a kid, that was just like, dude, Batman was so cool, dude. And like, him to not have a star, that was BS, dude. And you made that happen, bro, like you did, G. That was all you, bro. That was totally all you and his daughter. And his daughter's hot, by the way.
Yes, she is.
Taking a lot of turns.
It was amazing for all of us to find out that he didn't have a star. And Ralph pretty much single-handedly just forced
That's
Hollywood's
not
hand.
True
That's what
all,
happened.
Single-handedly. A lot of people were involved, including the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, who helped us out. And as you mentioned, Nina, his daughter, was a big part of that, too. And it was a pleasure to give the guy something back. But I agree, and I'm glad you watched the documentary because I think it's pretty good.
Sanchez, thank you for calling. We've got to move on. But say hi to Puppet and Little Scissors for us, okay?
Wow.
I don't like it.
Wow.
I don't like that kind of racism. That's me. That's
all right.
Me.
Speaking of, Ralph, I'm glad you're here. Mario has a topic on line six. He's in Los Angeles. He's up next on Kevin Beans. What's good?
Hey, Mario.
What up? Ralph, what's up?
What's good?
Mario?
First off, what's good is the Eagles. What's not good is the Cowboys.
Boom! Boom! That just happened. In case
right.
you didn't watch the game last
this
night.
Topic. You guys have been missing this topic.
Okay.
These Cowgirls. How much do they pay? How much do they pay these referees? These Eagles stuck in there. They fought through it. All these dumb penalties, these fake calls, and they just stuck it through and then just boom.
All right, Mario, let me just ask you a question at my own peril. Do you think really that the refs were on the take and that they were making terrible calls because of it?
I wouldn't. I mean, it just seemed that way. They're just okay. – I can give that up to them. They have a good offensive line. They're a good team. They're missing Tony Romo, blah, 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 blah. But they just had so many calls that it seemed like was just going their way that should have never gone. Yeah.
There were some atrocious calls last night during the game. And here's my take on that is that what penalty changes every NFL game more than pass interference, especially when it's defensive pass interference? How is that not reviewable? How can you not challenge that call when nothing shifts the action on the field more so than that call?
Or is more open to interpretation.
That absolutely should be reviewable because it can cost you 40 yards sometimes, those penalties. It's the most severe penalty in the game, and yet they don't let that one be reviewed.
It is the one that can change most games.
And I think it should be reviewable. I think they need to address that.
We'll talk to Andrew Siciliano about that when he comes in. Thank you very much for the call. Let's do one more, guys. This is going to be Carol in Cyprus. We have spoken with her before. She was the Kevin and Bean and K-Rock Grand Prize winner of The Sweet Life with Muse. Remember her?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Am I right about that, Carol? You won the $25,000 and the suite at the hotel and the suite at the venue, and you got to bring the band on stage, the whole deal, right?
You are correct.
All right. So what are you calling us about today?
All right. So I'm calling to share a story that seems very typical of a Kevin and Bean listener.
Okay.
What happened to them. About 30 minutes after I had found out that I won, I got in a car accident, a pretty bad one.
Oh, no.
Are you okay?
I am fine. I was diagnosed with whiplash, but I got it fixed like the day after I started seeing the chiropractor. But yeah, I thought, but I think it's hilarious in retrospect. Right?
Remember that time when I won that prize and then I got in an accident? That was great.
No, well, yeah, I mean, I'm laughing about it now.
the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
And K-Rock is cursed. We forgot to mention that.
Hey, I don't think that's true. Is that where we're going with this?
Oh, yeah. You get involved with this station in any way?
I don't think that's true.
Bad things are going to happen.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. What's good?
Do we have some? We have an intro for
Andrew? We do, but here's. I just want to put this disclaimer out there, is that we asked Omar to come up with an intro for Andrew 30 seconds ago.
Okay.
And it's done.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here you go.
It's Andrew Siciliano. Football.
Sports.
Yes. Nailed it.
He is the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network, Monday through Friday at 3, and of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel every Sunday. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is here. How are you,
Andrew Siciliano. Football.
Great job.
Good job. Like Good it. Morning, guys.
Well, we got a lot to talk about, as we always do. We're so grateful for you and your time because we know what a busy, long Sunday you have. So it means a lot to us that you get up and come in here. Why don't we start with, first of all, what happened to the Packers? The last 2 weeks, Green Bay Packers have not been the first 7 weeks. What happened?
Yeah, they're done. I mean, I would pack it up and go home. They lost to a better team at each of the last 2 weeks. I mean, if you want a really simple headline, they lost to better teams, both against Denver and then against Carolina. And say this about Carolina. Nobody wants to give them an ounce of attention. Oh, they'll, you know, mess it.
That is weird.
I don't know why.
Why are there some teams where they just go, yeah, okay, they're undefeated or whatever, but they're not going to.
They play in Charlotte, and I know that only is, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. In the NFL, we should be immune to that. I don't know what it is, but they have won 12 straight regular season games, which is the longest winning streak. Yes, Allie, I know Brady didn't play the second half, week 17 last year. The longest winning streak. They just beat in a row at Seattle. Then they beat the Eagles, the Colts, and the Packers. That's a pretty good four-game stretch. And by the way,
how far are they going to go, though?
They won a playoff game last year.
Yeah, but
right
how good
now,
are they really,
but
though?
Seriously. Right now, the NFC Championship game would be played in Charlotte.
Right, but they're the Panthers, right, Andrew?
I think they're fine. And by the way, I need to apologize to Allie. You never said that to me, but mm-hmm. whenever I point out on Twitter that the Patriots, or rather the Packers, or rather the Panthers, have won 12 straight games.
It's a passionate group.
Right. Yeah. All I get is Patriots fans saying, well, week 17 last year shouldn't count because Brady sat out the second half. No, seriously, they believe that in their little warped minds.
But they don't really. Do they?
They do. Oh, they do believe that.
If your quarterback goes down, your quarterback goes down.
No. He didn't go down. It was over. They said, you know what, we'll sit you for the playoffs. And so everyone went to the bench, and they basically played Foxborough High School in the second half, if there is such a thing.
What is the controversy surrounding yesterday's Packers-Panthers game?
Okay, so Cam Newton. Everyone loves Cam Newton. He's Superman. He does, yay, he gives the ball to the kids. Cam Newton, right. So Cam Newton, before the game, sees a large banner hanging over the railing down on the field level, first row, from a North Carolina cheesehead. And I believe it says something like Carolina cheesehead. And it's a large, glossy-looking, sexy banner that somebody obviously paid money for. Well, he ripped it down. And he took it away, and he said, here, somebody deal with this, and they disposed of it. Now, technically, there is a rule that says in the first row over the railing, you cannot hang banners favoring the opposing team.
Can the quarterback enforce that?
The quarterback decided to enforce that. Well, but it gets more fun after that. Turns out the guy then goes to the police.
Okay.
And demands return of said banner because he says he paid $500 for it.
Whoa.
Better yet, he's a veteran, and it is Salute to Service Weekend around the National Football League.
Wow, he wins, right?
So what's gonna happen? Are they going to give him his sign back?
I am going to guess the sign no longer exists. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to guess that they will have a nice make good and a handshake and an autograph and a photograph, and he will somehow be reimbursed by a large multi-million-dollar corporation for said banner, and I'm sure we will turn it into a good feel-good story.
Cam Newton was in the wrong there, right?
Was he in the wrong? Seriously.
I'm asking you. You're the NFL expert.
I don't know that he was in the wrong.
I don't think we want any players on the field to be ripping signs down.
Agreed. That's for somebody else to do.
Okay, I don't think
it was
the classiest thing.
Come to my house
thing.
And hang up something about my ex-husband, if I had one.
How about this? What if
you know
it
what
wasn't...
I'm saying? I'm tearing that down.
What if it wasn't a veteran and... What if it was just a sign that someone clearly drew with a magic marker?
What
so
if
it's worth
it was
a dollar?
Patriots fan? Even though it wouldn't be. But
yeah.
if, it
what if
was,
it was a Patriots
you guys would
fan?
Be like, yeah, suck it, dude.
Banned for life from every stadium in the NFL, obviously.
Or we could argue that if it was a Patriot sign, it would somehow be tied into our salute to service in the military, hence because
we
of the name of the mascot, at least in your mind.
All right, Andrew, the saddest thing I saw on my TV yesterday was Peyton Manning all suited up with no place to go, just champing at the bit to get in that game and get those final 3 yards to make himself an all-time record holder. And he just never got back in the game. How did the Colts beat the undefeated Denver Broncos?
By poking the other dude in the eye. We're actually getting poked in the eye. Actually, back up for a second. Can I thank you for saying champing and not chomping?
Yeah, Bean loves that.
Okay.
He loves being correct grammatically, so yeah, that really, you
so
just gave
I.
him a semi.
Okay. Well, hey, it is early in the morning. Champing. Yes. This is not an exaggeration. Peyton Manning didn't break the record because Aqib Talib, one of the better defensive backs in the game and a well-known knucklehead, poked Dwayne Allen of the Colts right in the eye. Two-finger gouge right through the face mask, and that drew 15 yards, and it meant that Indy kept the ball. But wait, there's more. Then Indy was kicking a field goal with about a minute something to go to make it a six-point game. Peyton would still get the ball back. A chance to march down the field, really without timeouts, and rewrite history and win the game on the road. Except then he had another penalty. Mm. And so then all Indy had to do was take a knee.
It was so sad seeing him standing there with his helmet on, just ready to go.
In his old building against the team. And remember, last time he went back there, the only time with Denver, he lost.
Yeah.
So now he goes back there with clearly the superior team.
Yeah.
And he is 3 yards away from breaking the record or tying the record. And the record, by the way, is the most passing yards in the history of our game with a broken Brett Favre's record.
So he'll break that next week.
He'll break it next week. And if they had won, then he would have also passed Favre on most wins. So he could have been the winningest quarterback of all time and the most yards by any quarterback of all time. But Aqib Talib poked a dude in the eye.
It's all fun and games until somebody gets their eye.
Thankfully, Dwayne Allen has both eyes today.
That would have just been so poetic and so beautiful to have it happen there in Indianapolis. Hey, how is he received when he goes back to Indy?
Warmly. Okay. They like him. They still like him. And they love the fact that they have Andrew Luck there as well, who hadn't played well for a couple of weeks. But, you know, they love that they were able to bid goodbye to Peyton and that they have a newer, younger version. But they don't have anything bad to say about him.
Andrew Siciliano is here from around the NFL and the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. Quick break. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Andrew Siciliano in with us again this week, like he do on Mondays, DirecTV's Red Zone channel and the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network. So you tweeted something this morning or yesterday about how statistically the Cowboys will not make the playoffs?
Oh, no, they're dead. It's officially over.
They're dead.
They're dead. Yeah, they're dead in the water. It's never happened before. So if they make them, congratulations and you know, build like a statue and congratulate them. But
2-6 is too hard to get past.
So the current NFL playoff format, the one that we have now, 12 teams, has been there since 1990.
Okay.
If the Cowboys make the playoffs after beginning 2-6, they would be the first. It has never happened. 95 teams have started 2-6. It has never happened.
So they're not technically out.
0.
But you're just saying there's no chance.
They are not eliminated per se, but statistically it has never happened. Now, some would argue that if and when Romo gets back, which would be not this week, but next week, then maybe they go on a run and the division is mediocre enough. Sure. Okay. I could see that. But statistically, it has never happened. And they would officially be the first. Now, the Panthers last year were something like 3-8-1, and they ended up making it at, I don't know what they did, but they won their division,
yeah,
and it was
Carolina,
the worst division.
So that's not going to last.
It's the worst division ever.
How did the news that has come out in recent weeks, particularly the photos at the end of last week on Greg Hardy's girlfriend, how did that change the atmosphere at the game for the players yesterday?
It's a great question. I wasn't in the building. I only watched on TV. I could say in the stands I didn't notice anything different, certainly, and I don't think Dallas would have been any different than any other stadium. You're going to root for your home team, and he is one of 53 down there. He kind of gets lost in everything. But you talk to the Eagles afterwards, they said they were aware of it and they didn't want to be on the same field with the guy, and they gave him a little extra. Lane Johnson, the left tackle, so the guy that's lined up against Greg Hardy every time, said he gave him a little extra when he could, and he said that he basically called him a front runner and said when it's going well, you could tell. When it's not going well, he shuts it down a little bit. Jason Kelce, the center, said he doesn't think he should have been out there. And he thinks that something should be done about it, and he's going to take a run at him maliciously, but he's going to play harder against
him. Try to hurt him.
Whatever that means. No, he didn't say try to hurt him. He just said give him a little bit extra, and there's nothing wrong with that, certainly. Listen, so the players are in a tough spot because the players' union, right?
Yeah.
It is their job to defend their membership.
Right.
Any member of any union would want that. Well, the league saw the photos. The league gave Greg Hardy a 10-game suspension. The union then fought on his behalf and had it knocked down to four. Actually tried to get it to two, but got it to four. So got it knocked down 60%.
Right.
I mean, that's what you would want your union to do, but at the same time, there are members of your union that say, no, I don't want you defending that guy.
Yeah.
Right. He makes us all look bad.
Make us all look bad. Exactly.
Why is Jerry Jones so tone deaf on this issue, Andrew?
Ah, that is a great question.
Is Listen, he just tone deaf on this issue?
Let's step back for a second and try to take Jerry Jones out of it, which isn't easy. Greg Hardy is not the first bad guy to be employed by a sports team.
Right.
And this goes across the board. NBA, NHL, mm-hmm. MLB. He's not the first. He will not in any way be the last. And Jerry Jones is not the first owner to give the guy a second, third, fourth, or 18th chance. That happens in every arena. Jerry Jones is, however, adamant that he's not going to listen to anyone else's opinion in this regard. The only way anything ever changes from anyone's team in situations like this is if the fans actually speak back, whether it's Michael Vick or Ray Rice or whomever. That's the only way.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that, you know, you have a million people march in AT&T Stadium. But once this guy makes a decision, and Jerry Jones does stick to his decisions, and he's not turning back. There are a lot of people thinking that he was going to get cut, Hardy was, on Friday afternoon when these photos came out. Nope. They stood by their guns. By the way, did you see Hardy's apology via Twitter?
Yes, I did.
All right, here's my two cents.
Please.
If, first of all, when your Twitter handle is Overlord Kraken, I have a hard time taking your apology seriously. When there's no punctuation and the number four is repeatedly used in your apology, I can't take it seriously. To quote Samuel L. Jackson from Boondocks, ain't nothing important ever been written with thumbs. If you really wanted to issue a good apology, then do it legitimately and not over Twitter. And we have always often criticized athletes' apologies. We say, oh, they didn't write that.
Right.
The PR guy wrote that. This Greg Hardy apology is a classic example of why PR guys should write them, because that thing was bogus.
Yeah. No, you make a good point. And just to go back to the Jerry Jones thing for a second, it's one thing to say, I believe in the young man. I think he's turned his life around. I'm going to give him a second chance. It's another thing to go out of your way to praise him and talk about what a leader
right.
he is and all the other. I mean, that's why I asked the tone deaf question. It just seems like he doesn't understand the way we feel about domestic violence.
It seems to me he's getting quite defensive about the organization's decision to sign him. And instead of saying, this guy has no leeway here if he takes another wrong step, he's gone, which he has said that. He has then added on, I don't know. Yeah, you're totally right.
Do you think,
okay.
Do you think with Jerry Jones that it makes him more staunch in his refusal to do anything when people start yelling?
I think so. But I think
he's
that's
the kind of
that human nature.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are like that. I know I am, too. It's called stubbornness.
Yeah. It was great to see how unhappy he was at the end of that game, though, last night, wasn't it?
See, and here's another thing. He is also the only owner and general manager that regularly makes himself available to the media. Forget about regularly. He does it after every single game, and then he has multiple radio appearances during the week in Dallas. For example, Ray Farmer, the Browns GM, faced the music last week after the trade deadline, met the media for his, quote, mid-season interview.
Is that a thing?
The majority of GMs speak once the entire season. Owners, the majority of owners, never speak at all during the season. Jerry Jones speaks 2 to 3 times a week every single
and
week.
So does Robert Kraft, because he's in court all the time, right, defending his team.
No. He's out there at midfield with his ridiculous ceremonies and rappers.
And let's not put this all on Greg Hardy. There are other teams, like the Seattle team. Who do you guys have up there?
Frank Clark. That's right, Frank Clark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's everywhere. And if we're going to talk about one, let's talk about all of them.
Well,
It's everywhere.
You're totally right. It's a fascinating conversation, and Ray Rice was the turning point.
Yeah,
a lot of people,
so
and I'm going to sound like an apologist and a sycophant. I'll own what I'm going to say here. A lot of people said this was the league and Roger Goodell and everything bad, 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 bad. Fine. You can make that argument. But I think really Ray Rice was a turning point for society about what we will accept from our professional athletes, not just football players. And there were countless cases of domestic abuse or DUI or any kind of violent crime. Let's not just make it domestic abuse here. Any kind of violent crime across the spectrum of professional sports that were ignored by the fan base.
For a long time.
Not, you know, without a picket, without a care, really without one person saying a word. And now, after Ray Rice, if America wants to be more aware and socially conscious and wants to fight back with these instances, good for them. They should. And they should say that we no longer want to accept this. But you also have to realize, and I want to step back and say, well, where you been? Because for years and years and years, and if it took Twitter and social media and video on your phone and TMZ to finally wake people up,
I think it helped for sure.
Agreed.
Then good.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm glad everyone woke up. It took you long enough.
Well said. Andrew Siciliano is the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network, also DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays. Tonight we got that 2-5 Bears versus 2-6 Chargers. Andrew, a lot of excitement over this one.
I could sense it in your voice.
So we can pass on this one, right? We can watch Supergirl instead, right?
You had Supergirl in here last week, didn't you?
She was on the show. She was on the phone.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's the best.
She's a good deal.
I didn't know. Yes, she is. She seems powerful.
Well said.
Can she jump over buildings or leap over?
She can do it all.
All that stuff?
She can do it all.
Okay, fun times.
All right, Andrew, we'll see you again soon. Thanks so much for coming. We enjoyed it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
Minutes away from yet another chance for you to score your tickets for the private K-Rock show this Friday night with Coldplay at the Belasco Theater. Details at KROQ.com, but you can win those coming up. Plus, actress Lake Bell is going to be joining us just after 9 as well. Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on the Monday. What's going on?
Well, I've got some tickets to give away to a movie that I am really looking forward to seeing called Legend.
Yay!
Now, this may be odd, but I'm a big fan of the story of identical twin gangsters, the Cray brothers out of England, back in the early 60s.
Yes.
There have been other movies and TV shows about them, right?
Don't do it, Kevin.
I only know of one.
There were two of them?
Yeah, don't there were the Kevin. Two Cray brothers. Don't. They're identical twins. Yeah.
Hmm. You know their names?
Reggie and Ronnie.
No.
Really? You're just going to let the setup hang and not close it out, huh? All right.
Whatever. They're referred to as Cray Cray?
You know what? Either deliver or don't. You know, play the game or stay on the bench.
Zoom.
Because
everybody was already groaning before I even got to it. Come on.
There was a story about these guys, a film made starring the brothers from Spandau Ballet. The Kemp brothers.
Kemps, yeah.
Starred as the Cray brothers in a really good movie version of this. This looks even cooler because Tom Hardy is playing both roles. He will play both Reggie and Ronnie in this film.
Yeah.
Emily Browning also stars. Taron Egerton, who we all fell in love with in Kingsman. So this movie looks terrific. It's called Legend, and we are having a special K-Rock advance screening of Legend at the Arclight Hollywood. Again, one of my favorite theaters in the world. Everything's perfect about this. And it's happening when? Oh, Tuesday, November the 17th. Boom!
Okay.
How is that boom?
It's my birthday. And it's theaters everywhere November the 20th. So if you'd like to see Legend before anybody else, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through at that phone number. Get a pair of passes to go see Legend at the Arclight Hollywood. If you'd like more info about the criminals, the real-life criminals, or the movie itself, you can go to legendthemovie.com. And this is not to be confused with Legend with Tom Cruise, where he fought Tim Curry as the devil. Don't confuse it with that one, because you'll be sorely disappointed. There's no Tim Curry.
It's not that?
No Tim Curry devil in this film. Right? Who's with me?
Sure.
Okay. Congratulations to Mark Maron, my buddy Mark. IFC Cable Channel has just renewed his outstanding comedy, Maron, for a fourth season. Expected to premiere in the spring. Could not be happier for him. Sci-Fi Network, while we're talking television, has picked up a third season of Z Nation. That's right, you heard me, a third season of Z Nation. To which I responded, there's a show called Z Nation?
For 2 years?
The show is about a group of everyday heroes who are given the task of transporting the only survivor of a zombie plague across the country so his blood can be used as a cure for the virus.
All right.
Okay.
And some people like it. So much so that it's going to be on television more.
Dave tells me that our friend DJ Qualls is one of the stars of Z Nation.
He's got to be the survivor, right? He's got to be the pseudo-zombie human. Because he looks
I don't know,
like,
but now I'm bummed that I didn't know about this show. Because
he looks like a zombie in real life.
He does.
He's got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy. He's not the hero. He's not the strapping young buck who's saving everyone.
Yeah, I can't imagine
he's
that
he is. He's that guy, right?
Unclear.
Once again, there's not enough information in this story for me.
Dave also tells us that we had DJ Qualls on the show to talk about Z Nation.
Who pays attention, Dave?
No memory of that at all.
More TV news. Ray J. You remember Ray J?
Sure.
Kim Kardashian's porn sex partner?
Mm-hmm.
Ray J is going to be the host of a new dating show on the Wii Network called Driven to Love, where, wait for it, he drives people around as they pick up their dates. That's right. Ray J is now an Uber driver.
Wait.
It's Uber TV.
There's more to it than that.
He's Driven to Love.
Oh, come on.
Driven to Love is the name of the show, and he will drive people around on their dates.
Nope.
That's not a thing, right?
It's Driven to Love. It's going to be in the Wii Network. It's happening. Accept it. Move on. Live with it.
Nope.
Embrace it.
He is the brother of Brandy, the singer, correct?
Yes.
Ray J?
He is.
I feel like he shouldn't have to work as an Uber driver at this point.
But he's driven to love.
Okay.
No! Boy, Kim Kardashian got the best part of that deal, didn't she? They both were in the sex tape.
Yeah.
One starts an empire built on sand, and the other one now is an Uber driver on the Wii Network. Come on, that ain't fair. I don't want to hear women complain anymore about how they're underpaid and they get paid less than men or whatever. Just look at this situation. This is unfair right there. And if I remember correctly, Ray J did all the work in that video.
Well, that's right.
And he is getting sorely underpaid for his participation when you look at the two. The scales of justice, I'm saying, are tipped.
That is an excellent point.
In one direction. So the next time some woman says to you, women are paid less than men for the same job, you go, boom, Ray J! And then you run away as fast as you can from that room. Because she will likely punch you in the head. Yeah. All right, then. Let me get these out real quick. Top 10 movies at the box office. We do it on Mondays. So you get a sense of what people went to see in the movie theaters. Spectre, number one, $74 million, excuse me. I don't want to
Allie, how was
Spectre
it?
Spectre out of a million.
It was so good.
What was
I think it's,
huh?
I think it's my favorite. When he saved everyone from the Spectre.
When the Spectre was threatening everyone?
Yeah, and the Spectre's like, I'm going to get you. And he's like, not on my watch. Tally-ho.
Yeah, why is he Dick Van Dyke from
sure.
Mary Poppins?
Not sure, but that's my favorite.
Not my watch. I'm going to clean your chimney. Step in time.
It wouldn't kill you to go see a James Bond movie, Allie. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Dick Van Dyke. And Daniel Craig? Daniel Craig, he's hunky, right? What's wrong with
sure
that?
Sure is.
Dick Van Dyke is James Bond. Spectre.
That'd be pretty
Boy,
awesome.
I'm going to save little people from Spectre, I am, by drawing here on the sidewalk with my chalk, and we'll all jump into the picture. Peanuts movie, $45 million, was number two. The Martian, Goosebumps, and Bridge of Spies rounded up the top five. Welcome to the Hotel Transylvania. Two. Number six on the box office. Burnt, The Last Witch Hunter. Eighth, The Intern, and then Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. Rounding out your top ten at the box office, Cisco! Remix.
I'm not sure that was illegal, but it was funny.
Nick Lachey's 42. Eric Dane of Grey's Anatomy fame is 43. Chris Jericho's 45. Peppa of Salt and Peppa, 46 years old today. And Lou Ferrigno, the legendary actor Lou Ferrigno, of course, was the Incredible Hulk. And that's about it. But still, he's legendary, and he's a great guy, and he's 64 years old. And I'm glad that Beer Mug had a chance to interview him and really find out some interesting things about Lou.
How has life been for you up to today?
Life has been great. Last week I just did the voice for The Incredible Hulk. And also I'm looking forward to see the upcoming Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, because I hear you're on that.
There's Beer Mug breaking news to Lou Ferrigno that he was on a show he already knew he was on. How has life been for you up until today?
And Lou Ferrigno just picked that up and ran with it.
He just helped nice the brother man. Out. Just kept going.
Nice dude.
He should have snapped him like a twig. That's what he should have done. Who could have blamed him? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Congratulations to Sarah Saunders from West Hollywood. Just got tickets to see Coldplay at the Velasco. Why should you know?
No, I was listening. It was going through each ear.
I thought I was messing up.
No, sorry.
Anybody shakes their head, no, I assume I'm saying something
apologies.
Wrong.
Kevin was doing it right for once, and you screwed him up, Allie. Let the man talk.
Sorry.
Let him talk. All right, so what? Coldplay, Belasco, this Friday night, right. K-Rock Only Show. Keep listing your chance to win. Details at krock.com. It has been a good year for us Lake Bell fans between the Wet Hot American Summer on Netflix and Children's Hospital on Adult Swim. But this Friday, we get to see our girl back up on the big screen. I want a 30-foot-tall Lake Bell, and that's what I'm going to get when I go see the film Man Up, co-starring Lake and Simon Pegg. Hey, Lake, welcome back to the Kevin Amin Show. How are you?
Hey. That was an awesome introduction. Thank you.
Well, you know, we're fans of yours. We've been having you on for many, many years, and we're very, very excited anytime we get a chance to talk to you. And this movie looks super funny. And I just, when I'm watching the trailer, I'm thinking this question, and I need you to be honest with me, Lake.
Okay, let's get into it right now.
If Simon Pegg weren't a big-time Hollywood movie star, would women ever look twice at him?
Hey, wait a minute. Sense of humor. First of all, the guy's a good-looking guy, and you know, sense
Amen.
Of humor. Come on,
Amen.
Like, isn't that what gets to our heart?
He's got it all, Bean.
That's
dude.
What I would think. He has it all
yes.
as well.
Really?
I would date him. I would date him.
Look, we know Simon Pegg.
That's breaking news. You would date him?
Look, we're all huge Simon Pegg fans here. Everyone involved in this conversation. And we love him. But I'm just saying, if he weren't the famous funny guy that we know, I just wonder if he could get a woman as hot as Lake Bell. That's what I'm asking.
We're not as shallow as you, Bean. So, yeah, we really? Can see that as something that would happen. Yes.
Aww.
It's true.
I mean, look, I think... You know, the movie is, I honestly think that you guys are going to like it because, you know, in terms of it being like romantic comedy, it's like very heavy on the comedy and then oops, romance, you know, so it's like, but it's very sort of true to its kind of, I don't know, like, you know, it doesn't sort of, it's not too cool for school with its romance too, you know, Tess Morris, the writer made this amazing, you know, she sort of, you know, lent into the genre and wasn't apologetic about it. And so I think of it as, I'm really proud of it, you know. But I think, I don't know. I think you guys are going to like it. You're going to accept the premise.
I don't have any problem with the premise. Yeah, speaking of being British, you, of course, are famous for how many accents you do. I mean, as a voiceover artist, you've done all the accents in the world. Was it tough to play a role where you have to be British all the time for that length of time?
You know, to be honest with you, it was like on my career bucket list to kind of realize a fully breathing, you know, British human, in not a kind of sketchy way, but in a real way. So, I did cheat a little bit because I went to drama school in England, but, still it was super, you know, it was challenging to do, but, Simon was so awesome to improvise with. So, it was my charge to make sure that I could improvise within the accent. That was like the key thing that I wanted to make sure that could happen. Cause you don't want to be, you know, kicking around in an accent and then all of a sudden someone says something hilarious, but you're arrested because you can't answer because you don't want to not be in the accent.
I can't speak English, so I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just working on English.
Oh, I don't know. It was super, it was awesome. And the entire, you know, group of people that I made the movie with, you know, all these people, all these Simon Pegg movies, like, I enjoy them so much. So to be finally a part of one was kind of, I don't know, it was big. It was big for me.
A lot of people, we're talking to actress Lake Bell here on the Kevin Amin Show about her film, which is in theaters everywhere in Los Angeles and New York this Friday. A lot of people on your Twitter feed are writing to you about how they have seen this movie on a plane already. And I'm very confused about that if it hasn't come out yet.
I know because it's a British movie and it came out in the United Kingdom and then I guess it also then came out in Australia and all these other countries
So actually, it's like usually we get the movies that come out first, and then it goes to every other country. But with this movie, it actually went the other way. So a lot of people have already seen it in the world, but not America yet. So
God bless
America. I'm bringing it to you this weekend. because I'm an American and I care. but yeah, it's also on planes too. So if there's like jet setters out there, they're like, I have scooped it and I have seen it already. So congratulations.
Dude, I can't wait. I can't wait till Friday. I'm going to go find a flight right now. They're showing Man Up.
You got to fly somewhere.
I want to ask you one other thing, Lake, and that is, again, I mentioned the voiceovers. And by the way, I know we had you on at the time, but for any of our listeners who did not see your In a World movie, it's so great. And I know it was a labor of love for you, but it was such a fascinating movie about a part of the industry that most people don't ever think about. But I wanted to ask, when I saw the iPhone 6 commercial, that's you, right?
Yes, it is.
You are the voice of freaking Apple iPhone on that commercial.
I'll admit it was pretty profoundly special. The iPhone 6S. So yeah, that is very good spotting, by the way. That's good ear spotting.
Well, your voice has become very recognizable now, obviously, because as you've done more and more work, you know, as a voiceover artist and as an actress. But when I heard that at the first or second time, I thought, oh my God, I think that's Lake Bell. And I have to imagine, though, that there are just some accounts that are just considered the gold standard for voiceover artists. Like, that's the call you want, right?
Oh, I mean, amen, brother. I mean, super jazz. Like, I can't even hide my enthusiasm for getting that gig. And it did feel like art imitating life, because obviously in a world there's like this big account and, you know, it's the first female voice to be the omniscient voice of X, Y, and Z. And so it wasn't dissimilar situation. So, I'm really proud to do it. And it feels very special.
Well, congratulations. Seriously.
Thank you.
So, Allie, girls can find love. That's what we're going to learn in Man Up. I think you may need to go see this.
That is a good takeaway. I'm
start
working
feeling
on my accent.
Good about yourself. Hey, whatever it takes, right?
Amen.
Whatever it takes,
guys. Get out there. Take some chances.
I hear you.
Man Up this Friday. It looks very, very funny. Simon Pegg and Lake Bell Lake, we love you. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Here's the music.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
What?
We got to take care of some other business first.
But this is already playing.
Kevin.
You can't do it. You can't do anything about it now. It's already playing.
What am I supposed to do?
There's nothing you can do.
You want to stop the music?
It's out of control.
Yes. Let's stop the music. Where is it you think you're going when you hang up on the guest? Like, what is it in your mind you're racing to get to when you can't wait a half a goddamn second for somebody to say goodbye?
It is kind of nuts.
Look,
I don't understand the urgency.
All of the times that the show moves smoothly because I turn down phones and stuff like that. You people don't appreciate what I do.
You're right.
So then
you're vastly underappreciated.
So then occasionally I might get out a little early.
But what we're saying is what are you eagerly trying to get to what's the next element that cannot wait for you?
It's all about being smooth.
Is it a commercial? Is it about commercials?
Ralph, it's all about smoothness.
You're so eager to get to the commercials, you can't wait to get to them?
Yes.
He loves commercials.
I do love commercials.
Given your lengthy history of hanging up on guests, wouldn't you think at some point you might say, I'm just going to let that breathe just a hair longer to make sure?
Be sure. That's all. Just be sure.
Half a beat, Kevin.
Let's take a look.
All right, let's hear the tape of actress Lake Bell, who was on with us just a few minutes ago. And once again, Kevin, in a tremendous hurry for something. Always great to have you on the Kevin Beach. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Come on. She said, thank you. That was a complete finished thought.
And then she said, but the next thought had begun, Kevin. You understand that? Yes, she had many finished thoughts in the course of the conversation, but she was beginning a new thought that she would probably like to finish.
But if we were at the end of a conversation, in all reality, you would have thought, oh, that's her goodbye.
Unless
she was
speaking again.
That's it.
Unless she started to talk again.
Thank you.
Then I would say, well, she's still speaking. I'm going to back off a little bit and let whatever that thought is come out.
Let's listen one more time to what she might have been saying.
Always great to have you on the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Half.
It's going to be have a good day.
No.
Have a great week.
nope. have a role on Children's Hospital for you.
Oh, that could have been right? too. I guess we'll never know.
Oh, that hurts.
Way to go, Kevin.
Have a real crush on you guys. We'd yeah. would like to make sweet love.
That's not likely.
It's very possible. But see, here's the thing. We'll never know.
Dean is in a rush.
No, no, you're the one. Kevin, you were the one who did that.
You did it.
It was you, buddy.
Wait, that was me?
Yeah, that
yes,
was you.
Kevin. Yeah. It's always you.
And who's in such a hurry to get Lake Bell off the phone?
I wasn't in a hurry to get her off the phone. The conversation was over.
The conversation had ended.
By definition, if she's still talking, the conversation is not over. Would be
and
my
it
point.
Ended for you, but not for her.
And that's conversations are a two-way street.
Look, Chip did not mean to hit that button.
It wasn't Chip. Nope.
Kevin, God damn it.
It's not Bean. It was not Chip. It was you. Again, you.
I bet Lake is so sad right now.
She's not sad because she had ended the conversation. She doesn't even know what happened.
She's sad.
I don't think Brooke Shields ever worked again after the way Kevin drilled her on the phone that day.
True, remember? Forgot she got out of the business.
She did.
McCartney, he quit.
McCartney, yeah. Bono,
but we don't.
He dropped out.
Yep. A lot of people. Curse of Kevin. All right. Sorry about that. We apologize, Miss Bell. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning.
We're sorry, Miss Bell. Sorry, Miss Bell. By the way, F that RJ Bell, right? Who's with me? That bastard.
Why? Did he pick Dallas?
Take Dallas and the points because they're the better team. And oh, everybody who go against them, everybody went. F you, RJ Bell. F you, Bell. That's what I'm going to call him from now on. Those are new initials.
Hey, he took Washington plus 14, too. So
yeah,
that
did.
One.
Oh. Wrong. Patriots aren't going to score a lot of points. They're going to take their foot off the gas against Washington. Wrong.
Wrong.
Sit down, RJ Bell.
You do not.
Sit down.
You do not want to pick against the Eagles.
No, you do
not. Ralph's presence.
There are many reasons you don't want to go to Seattle in general.
The people.
The people, first
and foremost.
One particular person.
Right.
Even more so.
More
and then
anything.
I found out this thing existed, and I was like, this is disgusting. You know about the wall of gum?
No.
Sure.
The gum wall?
Oh, wait, was Bean talking about that?
Yeah, it's where everybody goes and sticks their chewed
gum.
There's
a wall in Seattle where everybody takes their chewed up gum, and then they stick it on a wall.
Why?
Like animals.
Why does
like
that
barbarians.
Happen?
Look, my father always says, what are we, barbarians? And I guess we are. Rude ones. Rude ones at that.
There's a gum wall, and that's what you're supposed to do?
What the serious F is that all about? How disgusting. Why don't they have the loogie wall? Hey, you go by this building, you just leave your loogie behind.
It's been there for over 20 years. It's become
well, then it's
quite
okay,
a,
then.
I'm just giving a little background for folks who maybe haven't heard about it.
It's become quite a
tourist attraction. A lot of people go there. It's over there by the Pike Place Market. But now it has over a million pieces of gum stuck to the wall.
That's so gross.
So they're going to clean it. That's what the story, that's why it was in the news last week, is for the first time in over 20 years, they're going to clean that wall.
They're going to get an industrial steam cleaner and try to blow 20 years of chewed gum off the wall. They say they don't expect it to stay clean because everybody loves sticking their used gum to the wall. Burn that city to the ground.
So
right? That's what you do.
So
you
they
burn it to
clean
the ground.
It, but then accept people putting more gum on it?
Sure, Kevin, because you don't want to not have used gum on a wall in your city. How do you have a major metropolitan location without people's chewed up germy gum on the wall? That's a must. That's progress.
I don't understand how that ever got started.
Because they're a twisted bunch of effers. That's why. Burn it to the ground, right? That's what we're saying. Burn that city to the ground.
But no, figuratively.
Drone strike.
No,
that's what
no one's
saying
that for real.
Maybe a neutron bomb. Do they still make those?
I don't know.
No, that wouldn't work because that kills the people but leaves the buildings staying. We want the buildings gone, too.
That gum's going to last forever.
That gum will last.
Yeah. It'll last all the people.
The industrial steam cleaner. Blech.
Bean, have you ever put a piece of gum on the wall?
I have not, but like I say, it's a popular tourist attraction. My wife usually takes our guests when they visit down to the Pike Place Market. That's kind of her part of the tour that she does. So she has taken Nicole Alvarez, and she's taken Dave Sanchez. She's taken lots of people.
You guys have set up roles?
She's taking them to the...
She's the head of the gum department.
She's got the gum wall. I'm trying to stay away from the
that's
gum
her
wall.
Specialty. I don't want to step on any toes, so I use all the chewed up used gum to her.
She knows the history of it.
She's the ambassador of gum.
She's put gum there herself.
She's the secretary of gum state.
No,
but when like when Chip came when Chip came up this year, I take her on the duck tour. Donna takes her to the Pike Place Market. Sure. That's how we kind of spread our time out a little bit, right. And each have areas that we handle. And she's in charge of the gum wall.
She's in charge of the gum wall.
Right, that's all it is.
She's a
if
lucky woman.
If I visited someone and they took me to a wall of gum, I would punch them right in the culottes. That's what I would do.
Right in the culotte.
I'd punch them right in the culotte.
See it though, just because it's a one of a kind place. Yeah, you've never seen anything sure. like it.
How look, could you look. Guess what that looks like?
Chip, what was your impression of the gum wall when Donna took you?
It sure smelled good.
It was fun, right?
Yeah, it was fine.
Define fun, Bean.
Well, I mean,
it's a wall of gum.
Right, but it's like going to see any other tourist attraction. For the most part, you just go and you go, yep, there it is. It's a yep, there it is. Just like, you know, 40 feet away is the first Starbucks. What are you supposed to do? You go and you go, yep, that's the first Starbucks. It's just a thing that you see.
I don't go there either.
Well, people that come to the Seattle, they like to go see those places.
Nobody wants to see the wall of gum.
No one. Well,
then why do you suppose it has been in existence for over 20 years?
The people of Seattle.
But these are tourists who are adding their gum to the wall day after day.
They're forced to go by people like your wife who say, oh, now come with me. And you think you're going someplace good, and you end up in front of a wall of gum.
Is it a surprise? Do they never know what they're about to see? And then she goes,
no, but are they blindfolded?
Wall of gum.
But you're going to the famous Pike Place Market anyway, the place right. you see on Sunday football where they throw the fish. You do all that, right. And then you walk about 15 seconds down
the
Post
the
Alley,
town.
And you see the gum. That's wrong. All. It's not,
and I say,
it's not
what's
like
what's wrong with you? You're showing me gum. And I punch him right in the culotte.
What's the culotte?
I'm trying to figure that out. Culottes. Where do you wear your culottes? Okay. Never worn a pair of culottes?
Yeah, but you're saying punch them right in the culotte, like it's a spot
in
on the culotte.
Half of the culottes. One side or the other of the culottes is
which,
the culotte.
Which side?
It's a pair of culottes. You pick a side. Sit down.
So it's a euphemism for testes?
Whatever you got going
Let's
on
Let's stay
down
on
there.
Target. There's a wall of gum.
But again, don't show me anything that I can see by looking under the desk in an elementary school, okay? I don't need that.
That's where you draw the line.
I don't need that on my list of to-dos.
All right, let's take a call if we can. This is Morgan in Los Angeles.
All right, I'm glad we got into this because this needs to be stopped.
Hey, Morgan.
Hi.
What's up, Morgan?
There's one in California. You guys are giving Seattle such a hard time. There's one out here.
There's a wall of gum?
Yeah, in San Luis Obispo by the college, there's a famous wall of gum that people go to. It's a tourist attraction out there as well.
Hmm.
You guys are giving Seattle such a hard time, and we're kind of guilty as well.
You're right.
Here.
I'm sorry. I meant to say let's burn San Luis Obispo to the ground, too.
We should. Figuratively. If you're going to burn Seattle, you got to burn them all.
Let's burn them all.
Let's burn them all.
That's right.
All right.
That's the moral of Kevin and Bean show right there. Burn them all.
Thank you for the call, Morgan.
Gum walls. This country. It's over.
What's happening?
These are the end times.
It's not going to be like this with President Carson, I'll tell you that.
You're damn right it's not. He'll take his hammer to that wall and knock all the gum right off.
That's right. Once he kills his mom, he's going to move onto that wall.
Yeah, all right.
So they're going to clean the gum wall, but then they're going to allow people to put gum back on it.
Got to make room for more gum, Kevin. Don't you understand how the world works?
No.
It's just too much gum now.
I do not.
You have to strip it all down to start the gum wall anew. It's a fresh start. Believe in change, hope, new gum.
My wife handles that section of the city.
That's my wife's specialty, is the gum wall. Then we were going down to Boogertown.
So I guess this is a thing now?
Yeah, I guess it's a thing.
I would go to Boogertown.
I would go there, I gotta be honest.
I would go there. You'd certainly go to Poopville, I'll tell you that.
It's better than the gum
It's a model of the city made completely out of boogers. Tourists love it. All right. We're out of time.
My wife handles the gum wall.
Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Spectre, James Bond, 007, $74 million in its debut. Congratulations there, Mr. Bond. The Peanuts movie, $45 million.
Yay!
Everybody who went to see the Peanuts movie also put a piece of gum on the wall, they say. There's a lot of in common in those two audiences. The Martian, Goosebumps, Bridge of Spies. Your top five, then Hotel Transylvania 2, Burnt, The Last Witch Hunter, The Intern, and Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. This is surprising to me. I had no idea this was really happening, but apparently, if you watch Nashville at all, you know that Juliet Barnes has been struggling desperately with postpartum depression. Did you know that Hayden Panettiere, the actress, also had a battle with postpartum depression? So much so she had to leave the show.
Really?
She had to take some time off work because she was battling severe postpartum depression after she had her baby. But apparently she is doing better, and she hopes to return to the set very soon, say her co-stars.
When I saw that, Ralph, I was hoping that the writers didn't see that she was going through it in real life and said, oh.
Hey, this would be great.
This would be great storyline. Let's write that in.
We're acting, and this is going to be awesome. It's going to be like real life. Yeah, I hope that too. But
very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's sad news, but I'm glad she's feeling better. Hope she
she's married to one of those Klitschko brothers, right?
Vladimir. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Dr. Iron Fist. Vladimir Klitschko. I have fists of iron. And I'm also a doctor.
I don't even see how it works with those
okay.
two.
Okay.
All right. They're the same species.
Yeah,
let it go. It's all right.
Isn't he literally
three?
All right.
Yes.
He's
larger. She is smaller.
Yep.
Sit down.
Lou Ferrigno on the phone. It's his birthday. He's 64 years old today. Peppa opposes.
Welcome to my world.
I just had a partition. Peppa of Salt and Peppa, 46 years old today. Wrestler Chris Jericho, 45. Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy, 43. Nick Lachey is 42 years old. And rapper Cisco is 37 years old today. Thong, th- th- thong, th- thong, th- thong, thong.
Let me see that thong.
You do the Carlton dance to this song.
Does it rock? I'm Ralph Garman, and that's the gum wall.
It's a wall of gum.
It's a wall of gum is what that is.
Who knew?
I'd leave that to my wife. She's in charge of all the gum-related tourist attractions. I handle more mucus and sputum.
Tomorrow on All New Kevin DeBean Show, Ed Westwick from the TV show Wicked City will be on the program.
Oh, my goodness. Ed Westwick's on the show. Unbelievable.
That's Ed Wynn.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm sorry.
Confused there.
We also have been giving away tickets and are giving away tickets all week to Coldplay at the Belasco Theater. And we've got Chris Martin in studio tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin DeBean show. Nope. Nope.
Wrong. Wrong.
Incorrect.
And, of course, our annual tribute to the Wreck of the Infantry LD.
Not
40th
wrong.
Anniversary edition.
Not going
tomorrow
on.
Morning, Kevin DeBean show right here on K-Rock.
Wrong.